Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And we are off and running on this, the 22nd day of December, 2015. Let's see, what does that mean? 9 days left in 2015 as the poor old year stumbles toward its merciful end. And we'll start 2016 with just oodles of hope and joy and happiness and, yeah. And the knowledge that 2016 will be one long sleaze fest as we watch the glorious political process that is the new United States of Merca presidential election of 2016 unfold. I'm Bob Kincaid, little ray of golden goddamn sunshine, and you're wonderful, delightful you. Yes, it's about 2 minutes past the hour, and we do begin this here Titanic Tuesday on the horn. You might recall that Titanic Tuesday is the day that we use to celebrate all the wonderful, chewy goodness that is the any given right-wing attempt at mentation, at thought, at cognitive function. Yes. Mm-hmm. Titanic Tuesday. Named for a particular day when a particular weirdo called into a local Beckley radio right-wing radio show and said, Steve, how come it is you reckon they got seashells in the rocks of West Virginia? They ain't nowhere near the beach, and you can't get a clam nowhere. Nuh-uh. To which the host confidently replied, well, caller, In his stentorian monotone, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Still no word on the movement of the Titanic wire whisks. Mm-hmm. But that's where the name comes from, and it comes from it's Titanic intellect as practiced by the right wing here in Merca,
the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God.
Because there's just something about seeing an iceberg dead ahead and saying, ring up the engine room and tell them to give it all she's got. We'll show that iceberg a thing or two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where Titanic Tuesday comes from, and we memorialize right-wing attempts at cognitive process every Tuesday on the horn. This no different from any other. And this is, of course, a little community. Dr. Bill and I were talking a little bit about community earlier today on his program. If you'd really need to subscribe to Dr. Bill's podcast feed if you haven't already. He is an amazing scholar. And today he was trying to wrap up a topic because he's heading out of town tomorrow, driving up to New England. He's going to road warrior up to New England, hang out. have Christmas Eve dinner, get up Christmas morning, watch kids open packages, and then he and his wife are going to jump back in the car and come howling back down south, down the highways, and be here, you know, arriving back here late on Friday evening. Mm-hmm. Amazing. He is truly an amazing man. And so he was trying to wipe out a topic that he'd been working, and he did. He managed to. And as Jack in Shreveport once pointed out, that the beauty of Dr. Bill is that he'll be cruising along, passing information along, information, 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 and then whap, right in the back of the head with an axe handle. And wow, did he do that today. I mean, it was amazing. Let me just, I don't know how to put this. I'm not trying to be offensive or anything. I don't know what you're listening to in the 1 to 3 hours of the afternoon. That's Eastern Standard Time. Dr. Bill goes from 1 to 3 on Mondays and Wednesdays and 1:30 to 3 on Tuesdays. But whatever you're listening to in those hours, you're not getting information from it that is even remotely comparable to what Dr. Bill provides. You're just not. Because there's nobody out there broadcasting who has the breadth and depth of knowledge that Dr. Bill has. Nobody. Nobody. Not a soul. Period. I mean, Dr. Bill just knows stuff that a lot of other people don't know. And if you sit and you listen to Dr. Bill every program, you'll know what he knows. And he's passing it out for free. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to listen to any ads about buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold. Gold's your best hedge against inflation. Buy high and sell low, because that's how we make our money here at Buy Gold Now. None of that. Just pure 200-proof, fact-based, historical information. That's it. But we were talking about it today, and he was talking about the end of community, and I chime in every now and then on Dr. Bill's program just because he gets my mind going in a whirl. And I reminded him that it was Margaret Thatcher who declared there is no such thing as community. You know, there's a reason so many subjects of the crown there in the UK wanted her body stuffed in a toxic waste barrel and towed out to some convenient, extremely deep trench in the Atlantic Ocean and sunk so far that the earth would never known she had been on it.
Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as community.
Right. Well, screw you, Maggie Thatcher. Yes, there is, and we've got one right here. And it's firing up the little madcap real-time extravaganza that is Horn Chat. It's going nicely. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Little Gray. Good evening, Sentient Being. Good evening, Tim from L.A. All capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Yes, and more will be wandering along presently, including you, if you would like. Feel free to jump in. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you too will be participating in the aforementioned real-time madcap extravaganza. Mm-hmm. And again, yes indeed, this is a community effort, and we keep the community going, unfortunately not with love and sparkle pony unicorn fairy dust, but with money. Filthy lucre. We try to raise $200 per evening, and, well, that's what we'll try to raise this evening, and tomorrow, and Thursday, and there will be no program on Friday, which is Christmas Day. Yeah, exactly. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, maintains an ability to distill things down to their absolute essence, and there it is again. Margaret Thatcher was Ronald Reagan with tits. And she was. And it didn't help. Nope. And how about that? They both had their brains eaten alive by Alzheimer's. Karma? Hard to say. But we do. We try to raise $200 an evening with the with Friday being Friday. I guess I should say that, let's see, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, we're actually trying to raise $250 this evening. So that's 10 at 25, 25 at 10, 1 at 250, 2 at 125. Oh, dear God, do I have to divide 120? Oh, never mind. You get the idea. We're trying to raise $250 this evening and tomorrow and Thursday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Still didn't quite work out, does it? Because that would mean 150. Well, anyway, you know what? If we can raise $250 an evening between today, tomorrow, and Thursday, I will consider us most fortunate indeed. Okay, we now have a controversy. Jug of Punch in the chat room, Carol Baker, is saying, no, Ronald Reagan was Maggie Thatcher with Dick for Brains. It's so fun not operating on the FCC under FCC censorship guidelines here, really. If you would like to help us keep all of this going, remember, we still have an offer on the table for each and every subscriber. And Agnes and I are working on packages and getting mailings out. We really are. But each and every subscriber will receive a horn bumper sticker. Fun. I mean, one of these days, who knows? They may be on dozens of cars across the United States and maybe in some foreign countries, which will be very perplexing to people in places like, oh, Germany and the UK and Sweden and Australia and Japan and whatnot. Horn, nandeska, konadeska. Yeah, I can hear it now. But everybody who subscribes gets one, okay? And we're trying to get to 400 subscribers at $10 a month. Right now, we don't have 100 subscribers at $10 a month. It would be nice to cross the 100 mark between now and the end of the year. Don't know. Don't know indeed. But that's the way it works. If you prefer to operate according with the United States Postal Service, and some of you do, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Checks and money orders only, please. Made payable to The Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, as Bob Kincaid never even sees these things. And in fact, Boss Man Wayne handles that kind of stuff. He puts on his spider-proof gloves and reaches into the echo chamber and hopes not to have his gloves chewed off by the vicious spiders that live back there most of the time. They get cleared out whenever actually mail arrives, and so you see how that works, right? So and that is more than welcome too. Thank you indeed to everyone who participates via the U.S. Postal Service. So if we gotten all of that out of the way, good. Hopefully I will make no further mention of it, and things will just be taken care of, and there we'll go. Okay, so I see, this is what it means to have community. With regard to the burgeoning controversy, was Maggie Thatcher Ronald Reagan with tits, or was Ronald Reagan Maggie Thatcher with Dick for Brains? Carol notes, he'll get no argument from me if he wants to play a game of semantics. So there. Oh, can't we all just agree that they were horrible, horrible, awful, unbearably wicked, nasty human beings, of whom the species would have been ever so much better had none of neither of them ever, ever, ever lived? Yes, by God, I think we can. This is an interesting Titanic Tuesday, though. Very interesting, and I'm not in charge of this kind of thing. Sometimes things just develop this way. Sometimes they theme themselves out before I have a chance to even really much get a handle on things. I mean, really? I guess we're going to call this the Titanic Tuesday, Wisconsin Cheesehead Edition. I didn't set out to make it that way, but that's how it worked out. Because our first three nominees, as it were, for this here Titanic Tuesday, all come from that wonderful land of, well, formerly known as the Wisconsin Idea, formerly a magnificent exemplar of progressive thought and, oddly enough, community building. A land of lovely little towns and cheese curds and, oh my God, just yum, 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 yum. Magnificent, clean, pristine waters. Cheese, did I mention cheese curds? Yes, of course. Beer, lots of beer. And community, lots of community. But apparently there are some Titanic intellects at work in Wisconsin. Oh, yes. Take, for instance, Wisconsin Republican State Senator Bob Gannon. Now, there was a bit of gunplay recently in Madison, in the general vicinity of Madison, Wisconsin, as lovely a state capital as there is in this country. Mm-hmm. There was a shooting at the East Towne Mall, that's Towne Mall. We make things classy in Merca by hanging a Middle English E on the ends of things. Most people see Yeolde, fill in the blank, and they think that's ye olde. Never realizing, of course, that Y actually is a manifestation of the hard TH sound, and it's the oldie, old. And the E is probably a carryover from our North Germanic Scandinavian experience. Right. But anyway, the East Towne Mall, in Madison, somebody broke out their freedom protector. A teenager got shot in the leg. Fortunately, the wound was non-life-threatening. Damn, it's another gun story, isn't it? Son of a bitch! Well, that's all we are is in America anymore, is gun stories and prayer stories and paranoia stories. Well, we've got all three in the Wisconsin edition of Titanic Tuesday this evening. Anyway, Wisconsin Republican State Senator Bob Gannon is upset about the shooting at East Towne Mall, but he's a Republican, and I don't know why he would be upset, because this is the world that he, as a Republican, supports and arguably helps to create. A place where there's nowhere you can hide in America where there isn't some freedom protector out there with a gun to protect freedom from when that Obama, that one in our White House, Obama, the Kenyan Muslim you slurper wizard, puts his jackbooted jackboot down on our necks right there on top of our Confederate flag tattoo, and that tattoo on the back of our neck says, "Only God can judge me," and starts Muslimizing you slurping us. So, State Rep Bob Gannon, well, you know what he sees as the remedy to people being shot at the East Towne Mall in Madison? Wisconsin does not have a death penalty law, but with significant practice and careful aim, law-abiding citizens can help clean our society of these scumbags. You know, that even that word, scumbag, sounds almost charming with a Wisconsin accent, doesn't it? Scumbags.
Criminals no longer have any fear of our courts or our prisons, so it's time that the citizens of this fine state stand up and fight back. I don't know, that's almost Canadian, isn't it? But then again, so's the accent. So, you know, I'm doing my best here, okay? So we're supposed to stand up and fight back against people who shoot other people, thereby creating the shootout at the OK Corral anywhere that... Oh, dear God. He continued in his remarks, representing Bob Gannon did, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, ammosexual, gundamentalist, evangelical that I'm sure he is. A gangbanger in the mall with a gun is going to think twice if there could be a law-abiding concealed weapon holder standing behind them fully prepared to shoot center mass, as this is how you're trained to eliminate the threat these creeps pose to you, your family, and all law-abiding citizens unwillingly dragged into their public crime spree. You ever been Christmas shopping with a bag in one hand and a gun in the other? It sucks. I mean, there you are, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian, evangelical, ammosexual, gundamentalist, and you've got your you're carrying bag from Guns R Us there in the East Towny Mall, and you got your Freedom Protector there cocked and ready to go at your side, you know, your dirty hairy commemorative hog leg 44 Magnum there, and there hey, and you stop at it because you know you want to make sure that nobody gets oppressed by you know, boycotting your Chick-fil-A, so you stop at Chick-fil-A and you get yourself a frosted lemonade, and maybe you're feeling a little sexy and you get one of those spicy Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. And the next thing you know, you don't know what to do. You gotta decock the gun and you gotta put it down your pants and hope you don't shoot your pecker off. And then you gotta maybe put your Guns R Us bag up under your arm and sweat all over it. It gets so complicated. But you gotta do that because you gotta be ready to shoot center mass in case one of these creeps decides to start gang-ganging in one of our American mall situations. Fuck me. I mean, running. Fuck me running. What is it? Criminals no longer have any fear of our courts or our prisons. Really? It's all just Kathy Lee Gifford dancing away on the Lido deck of the Wisconsin State Prison. What? If they could see me now. No. But this is why it's, I mean, this is Titanic intellect. This is Titanic intellect of the classic museum quality variety. We've all got to be walking around a mall with a gun in our hand, which is, you know, that's, you know, the people who stand there at the front of the department stores waiting. Do they still do that, waiting to you with some cologne or something? Well, by God, they'll think twice before they do that if you're walking up with a 1911 45 caliber Colt, goddamn semi-automatic pistol in your hand. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. That's their dream scenario. I mean, the shootout at the OK Corral itself was brought on by an attempt by that town to have a little bit of civility in the form of everybody not carrying guns all over the place. I guess the Republic, and generally history has regarded the Clantons as not being the good guys in that, good guys with a gun. What am I, is that accent stuck now? God damn it! There, all better. Had to sort of do a double clutch and gear back down into hillbilly. But really, history doesn't look on the Clantons as being the good guys in the shootout at the OK Corral. But they were the ones who insisted on being able to take guns everywhere they went. And so now the Ninthers, Deathers, Tenthers, Birthers, Birchers, Booger Eaters, NRA members, the Clantons were the good guys. They just wanted to be able to shoot up the, have a Freedom Protector at hand to shoot up the bar there if they didn't like the prices that Miss Kitty was a-charging. Wait, she was in Dodge City, wasn't she? Sorry, Earps, Dillons, I get so confused. Hey, word coming in that I'm doing pretty good with that there accent there, hey Barb. Well, thank you very much. I'm practicing. I might go visit again sometime. And I don't want to identify myself as being an outlander. But I mean, that's it. I mean, there you go. It's for real. That's a member of the Wisconsin Assembly. The State Assembly. Speaking to WITI, Witty, really? Representing Gannon, said, maybe that's too strong, but it's my nature to say things in a strong manner to make sure people are paying attention. But he wants everybody to know. No, he doesn't want people engaging in vigilantism. He just wants them prepared to shoot center mass in the back of a... Right, because you notice the shoot him in the back part is, shoot him in the back, Gomez, shoot him in the back. We will be so we'll be such a happier country when, as soon as we can get a law requiring everybody to own a gun. Yuck. Oh, come on. We know what this is. Somebody's just, I guess campaign fundraising might be down a little bit for Mr. Gannon there, hey? And he's probably just angling for a little bit. It's Christmas, and he's angling for a little better contribution from the boys there in Fairfax, Virginia. You know, Wayne LaPierre and those other good guys with guns. That's all. Don't worry. He really doesn't want mothers and grannies and daddies and little toddlers and tykes running around with firearms inside the East Towny Mall there in lovely Madison between the two lakes. One of them's Monona. I can't remember the other one, but you'll tell me. I have no doubt whatsoever. You will. You'll tell me. So, I mean, this is, like I said, it's the Wisconsin edition of Titanic Tuesday. Now, Madison is down sort of in the southern end of Wisconsin. On the other hand, if you go up to the northwest corner of Wisconsin, you'll find a town there which is basically right across the lake from Duluth, Minnesota, called Superior, Wisconsin. I've driven through there a couple of times on my way to and from the Duluth Airport. Duluth will get... seems like it's so damn cold up there. It seems like Duluth will get snowed in. You can get your flight canceled in Duluth on account of snow in like July. Okay, I'm probably being facetious. Well, it's lovely country, but Superior sits there on one side of the lake, and Duluth is on the heights on the other. And they, of course, have themselves a mayor. Oh, see? Okay, Mendota. Lake Mendota. Not Monona. I knew it was something. And there's another one. Never mind. Because we've moved on. We're done with Madison, and we're going up to Superior. The mayor of Superior, Wisconsin, is Bruce Hagan, and he's got a holiday message for us too. Just I don't know. Maybe he knows representing Bob Gannon, and they're doing this north-south thing. Maybe it's like call and response in church. Who knows? But a friend of Mayor Hagan's, and by friend we mean Facebook friend, which is not necessarily all, it doesn't always necessarily mean friend. It means someone inside your in network. But anyway, somebody posted a picture of First Lady Michelle Obama on Mayor Bruce Hagan's Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And this, in turn, just like hollering gun control will make right-wingers just pop up like whack-a-mole all over the place. God bless America. Gun control. Liberals! Yeah. Mayor Hagan responded to the photograph of Michelle Obama on his Facebook page with the following, and this is a quote. Unbelievable! She and her Muslim partner have destroyed the fabric of democracy that was so very hard fought for. And Mayor Hagan should know. He probably fought for it. He was right there, just freezing his little Superior butt off there at Valley Forge. God, the stupid is strong with these ones. You got that? She and her Muslim partner. Mayor Hagan can't even bear to refer to Barack Obama as being Michelle Obama's husband. She and her Muslim partner. Well, partner, it's time to saddle up the camels and go and ride off and destroy democracy some more. Destroyed the fabric of democracy. Anybody want to take a run at that? When I open the phones, could anybody give me a definition of the fabric of democracy? I mean, is it chintz, velvet, muslin? Muslin's a fabric. Yeah, but that's not the fabric of democracy, goddammit. Percale? Broadcloth? Fabric of democracy. Lace? I mean, those founding fathers wore a lot of lace. And wigs. High-heeled shoes. And pants that didn't reach their ankles. And, oh dear, a pattern begins to emerge. Yeah. Thank you, Flavio. Yes, it was Flavio who told me it was Lake Mendota. He said, I lived there for 12 years, from 1992 to 2004... You're welcome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So that's Wisconsinian number der. Zwei. Dos. Oh, okay. Well, that okay. Leave it to the marvelously coherent Diane from Kansas Stan to sort that out. The fabric of democracy is polyester. Dacron polyester. Absolutely. Oh, no. Okay, see, we got another one of those community conflicts going on now. Even mutual fan club operators can have conflicts sometimes. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, says cotton is the fabric of democracy. each piece lovingly picked by your wrong coloreds before they got all uppity. Meanwhile, Gerald, who hasn't won anything yet, says, why, the fabric of democracy is made up of the Union Jack, the Confederate battle flag, the United States flag, and the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ Almighty. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, whatever the fabric is, Michelle Obama and her Muslim partner have destroyed it. And that fabric of democracy was very hard fought for. Not sure where they were doing the fighting for the fabric. It used to be with Joanne, maybe? Hancock Fabrics of Alabama? Not sure. But apparently there's a lot of fighting going on over that fabric. And you know what? You can damn sure bet your fabric of democracy is not silk. Because that's made by them foreigners, some of which is probably Muslims. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a quilt made by my mother that she made out of muslin. Back when me and Barack Hussein Obama was still not even quite teenagers yet. How did she know? The city council did not appreciate Mayor Hagan's comments. They described his remarks as inappropriate. Meanwhile, Hagan is he's not backpedaling, and he's not reeling it in, or anything. His message was in response to something said by a friend. I stand by what I say. Her Muslim partner. God damn it, you know what? If Barack Obama laid down on a crossbeam and let Sean Hannity start driving nails through his palms, they'd see, that's how slickety them Muslims can be. Daggum, this is stunningly stupid. So that's two. We ain't done yet, and this may, Flavio pointing out, the stupid is not merely strong with these, it is industrial strength, and perhaps even weapons grade. Yes, I think we have to hang on to that one, don't we? Weapons grade stupid. That's halfway to a damn toaster. Oh, yes it is. Mm-hmm. Wow, where the hell is that? Glenn says, what global warming, LOL? Today, Shanganak RS, is that Russia? Minus 47 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. I'm guessing that must be somewhere up near the Arctic Circle. Thomas being very careful not to infringe upon Ron and Raleigh's gimmick. Those gimmick infringement lawsuits can be such a bear. All caps, one exclamation point. Bob! Very disappointed in the mayor. He left out Kenyon. What kind of great American is he that leaves out Kenyon when describing our Muslim democracy fabric destroyer that was so hard fought for? You can't expect these guys to just get. I mean, it's not like they've got reverb where every time they say Merca, they can say,
the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God.
Because it's not everybody who can remember all that stuff. Or like when you talk about Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. That's a mouthful. And it takes years of practice and training. So cut him some slack. He forgot the Kenyan part, but you know what? You know what? I'll bet you, Thomas, I will bet you that next time he won't. He's probably already been schooled by a number of his good God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, upstanding Christian, amosexual, fundamentalist, evangelicals, that you got to say Kenyan. And you're even better off if you can reference his Indonesian madrasa education. Mm-hmm. And yes, the committee has piped in on weapons grade stupid Stephen New York saying, well, maybe not a toaster, but definitely a waffle iron for Flavio. Well, you got to have something to work toward, don't you? Absolutely. And so finally, the triumvirate of our Wisconsin Titanic Tuesday troika, trio, triptych has no name. She has no name. Because, well, her privacy is being protected. A lot of dwellings now, especially if they're apartments, God knows it's that way at the Super 8. And your Motel 6s and whatnot. But the walls can get kind of thin. And apparently, and you wouldn't expect it this way in Wisconsin. I mean, they have cold winters up there, and you need thick walls and stuff. I mean, not like 5 feet thick or anything, but still, you need thick walls. But there's a lesson here, I think. Here in Merca now, if you want to be having the sexy time, you need to have the sexy time quietly. Very quietly. Maybe with a hockey puck and some duct tape just to make you... Right. 82 years old, this good God-fearing woman is. And there she was, Sunday night. Don't know why she was up so late, or maybe she wasn't. Maybe, don't know. But she heard the people in the house next to her, or the apartment next to her. We're not sure if this involved a glass put up against the wall. But here in Merca now, if you see something, you have to say something. That's the sort of Stasi approach to being a patriotic, upstanding, God-fearing Merkin now. You got to tell the authorities if you think you've run into some ISIS, or if you think some ISIS may be around and not yet aware of your presence, and you want to make sure that the police know that there may be some ISIS. So there she is, Mrs. Schmeckenflummer. We'll call her Mrs. Schmeckenflummer. Not really her name, Mrs. Schmeckenflummer, but it sounds kind of vaguely Wisconsin. There she was, just trying to enjoy the Miss Universe pageant on Sunday night, I reckon. And all of a sudden, this loud noise, and she heard... She heard these peoples who were apparently having the sexy time next door to her. And we don't know if it was the guy who said it or the woman who said it or if maybe they both said it. But there she was just minding her own business, sort of vaguely, kind of okay, she was listening to him have sexy time. And she heard him say, ISIS is good, ISIS is great, in amongst the sexy time noises and the hooting and the grunting and the and the heavy breathing and whatnot. You think you're going to get me to do sexy time noises on the internet radio? Well, I'm just above that kind of thing. Maybe. Kind of depends. I could probably be persuaded. No, I couldn't be. No, absolutely not. But there they were, and there was ISIS a-rutting on my Mayella. So she called the police. No, really. She called the police of Brown Deer, Wisconsin. At least it's not Brown Eye, Wisconsin. Brown Deer, Wisconsin. Police told the woman to call back if she heard any more ISIS chanting. Okay, you're 82 years old. Maybe you're the best days of your hearing have gone past. Here at the tender age of 52 with permanent tinnitus, I can understand that. There's always it's just what comes of years and years and years of headphones on your ears, and there's always this one kilohertz tone that's just kind of in the background. You want to have a little rolling discussion this evening? Email, Twitter, what, Facebook, whatnot. What did she hear that she thought was ISIS is good, ISIS is great? One, two. Who made her all paranoid about the ISIS? Huh? What do you reckon Granny Schmeckenflirmer watches almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Well, I mean, she takes time out for her stories, but when she's not watching her stories, there's that handsome young Hannity fella. And you know, I wish my great granddaughter could meet a nice boy like that Shepherd Smith. Mm-hmm. The story was reported by... All right, here we go. First entry, courtesy of Devon. Allah Akbar, here I come! Yeah, right. Oh, God. Oh, God! No, I'm not gonna. CBS 58... up there in Wisconsin. Apparently Brown Deer is somewhere near Milwaukee, because that's where CBS 58 is, WDJT, Action News Live Team on the Spot Eyewitness Action Coverage. They simply were an 82-year-old woman called Brown Deer Police Sunday night, requesting police because she heard someone chanting, ISIS is good, ISIS is great, while having sex. Now, this opens a couple of journalistic doors. It really does. How did she know they were having sex? And what do we mean when we say chanting? Because, I'm not gonna lie. There can be some hollering during sexy time. There can be some hooting and maybe even singing. I mean, we've all seen young friends. Sweet mystery of life, at last I've found you. But there's nothing in that that sounds particularly like ISIS is good, ISIS is great. Reckon we're talking about it's Sunday night. The Packers won on Sunday, assuring themselves of a place in the playoffs, I think. I think there might have been some beer involved and maybe a little slur. This is good. This is great. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. But that's where we are. If you see something, say something. If you hear something, say something. You know what? Maybe they were doing something kinky. Maybe the woman was rubbing ice on the guy and he was chanting, "Ice is good, ice is great." Or maybe New Glarus has rolled out a new kind of beer up there, New Glarus Ice. You know, like Busch Light Ice and Natural Light Ice and Labatt's Ice. That's how you describe a higher alcohol content. And boy, they taste terrible. Ice is great. Yeah. By the way, a further geography lesson coming from Flavio. Brown Deer, Wisconsin. One of the most whitest, most racist, most stupidest suburbs of Milwaukee. Well, the picture begins to come together for us, doesn't it? Well, you know, you got to let me know this stuff in advance, Thomas. This time I got all caps Bob with like 24 exclamation points. The internet sexy time noises is my thing. That and poo stories on Friday. Just ask Nikki. She lets me do them with a grimace. Really? I thought he only did McDonald's gigs, the grimace. Roger up in Oregon says under the subject line, fabric of democracy. Democracy. The preeminent choice in this day is, of course, a fine muslin one available on every day except Sunday at a Hobby Lobby near you. They have secretly replaced thread count with threat count and head count at the behest of their legal staff. For seasonal reasons, it is available only in green and red at this time of year. They are keeping the green closely held for themselves. The green family, get it? Hi, No, you can't slip anything past Roger in Oregon, not a damn way. But the other, colored like the blood of other people's children, is available there at your Hobby Lobby all day long. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for letting me know, Ray. Ray tells me that I am now gone on TuneIn. I have no idea why. Oh, wait, hey, here's an alternative reading of the 82-year-old lady in Brown Deer, Wisconsin. Steve in New York suggesting, it's just a subject line. There's no further message. Maybe it's just none of her fucking business. Oh, now don't be getting all testicles there, Steve. What else has she got? Steve Harvey screwing up the Miss Universe pageant, for God's sakes. This is how it goes. So, for those of you who do from time to time engage in the sexy time, be careful what you say. Be careful how you say it. To wit, don't make it sound like you're chanting. All I want is, you know, it'd be fine if they took her name out of it. I want the 911 tape on this.
Hey, it sounds like they're fucking to beat the band, and they're chanting, "ISIS is good, ISIS is great."
Ah, Steve noting, tune in, working here, by the way. Okay, that's good to know, too. I am easily confused. looks like there's going to be some ciphering this evening. Because we do have some... We do have a contribution coming in. Thank you. Thank you, Carol Baker, queen of the minions. Thank you very kindly indeed. That means we have, let me work this out. Okay. So that we were trying to get 250, so that's 225. $224.59. $224.59. I think I got that right. $224.59 to raise this evening. Thank you very kindly for getting us started. Carol Baker, thank you very kindly indeed. $224.59. Do you guys check me to make sure that I'm going to get probably. You probably do. So, it is Conversation Radio. You're welcome to join in. And I hope you will. We have multiple numbers by which you can reach the program. Line one is 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. Line two is the stress line. 304-663-4676, 304-663-4676, that spells, of course, Horn, H-O-R-N, and from anywhere on the planet that will let you Skype, you can reach the program by sending a contact request, if you haven't already, to Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, coming through fine on TuneIn for Diane in Kansas Stan and Asa in Vancouver. Okay, that puts my mind at ease. So jump in any way you prefer. You are welcome on any line. If you prefer to write, there's always Twitter, 140 characters at a time, at Bob Kincaid. Facebook, no limit. And email, bobkincaid@gmail.com. So, pick one, and let's get the conversation rolling, shall we? Do. All right, we'll take a break, it being Tuesday, the 22nd of December, 2015. We have our last, apparently our last, Green News Report for the year. Brad and Desi taking a long and much-deserved break, so let's enjoy it, shall we? Light up the phones if you so desire, or the interweb tubes, or the emails, or it's not a series, you know, it's not a series of tubes, it's a series of tubes, it's not a big truck, right? Yeah. I'm Bob Kincaid.
On the Illinois-Wisconsin border, there was this Indian tribe. They found two babies in the woods, white babies. One of them was named Elizabeth. She was the fairer of the two, while the smaller and more fragile one was named Marie. Having never seen white girls before, and living on the two lakes, known as the Twin Lakes, they named the larger and more beautiful lake, Lake Elizabeth. And thus the smaller lake that was hidden from the highway became known forever as Lake Marie.
We were standing. standing by peaceful waters. Standing by peaceful waters.
Many years later, I found myself talking to this girl who was standing there with her back turned to Lake Marie. The wind was blowing, especially through her hair. There was four Italian sausages cooking on the outdoor grill, and they was sizzling. Many years later, we found ourselves in Canada trying to save our marriage. And perhaps catch a few fish. Whatever came first. That night she fell asleep in my arms, humming the tune to Louie Louie. Ah, baby, we gotta go now.
Who's standing? Standing by peaceful waters. Standing by peaceful waters.
Barking as the cars were parking, the loan sharks were sharking, the necks were narking. Practically everyone was there. In the parking lot by the forest preserve, the police had found two bodies. Nay, naked bodies. Their faces had been horribly disfigured by some sharp object. Saw it on the news, the TV news, in a black and white video. You know what blood looks like in a black and white video? Shadows. Shadows! That's what it looks like. All the love we shared between her and me was slammed. Slammed up against the banks of old Lake Marie. Marie!
We were standing. Standing by peaceful waters. Standing by peaceful waters.
It's Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015.
We need to address the planetary crisis of climate change.
ABC News hosts a presidential debate, but climate change and energy aren't invited.
They know this is coming.
President Obama warns Republicans the world is moving forward on climate.
Some homes, when you poured it in the tap, it came out rusty colored, or it came out looking like maybe it was light beer.
Officials knew Flint, Michigan's water contaminated with lead. Plus,
I can't imagine the leaders of Scotland could be so stupid
as to allow this to be built.
British court rejects Donald Trump's wind farm objection.
All of that hot air and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Keep in mind that right now, the American Republican Party is the only major party in the advanced world that effectively denies climate change.
Yes, very effectively, Mr. President. We call it American exceptionalism. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, I got a note from our station manager at our Lancaster, Pennsylvania affiliate partner, WLRI, saying that our forecast is for 75 degrees on Christmas Eve in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He said the record is 59, set in the 1940s, but, well, we've got really warm weather across much of the country this year. Last year, when it was really cold, Republicans used it to deny climate change. Will they use the warmth this year to underscore how much we're in trouble?
Oh, probably they'll find some way to deny.
What warmth?
Indeed.
So what do you have for us today as we head smack dab into the holidays?
Well, at the third Democratic primary presidential debate in New Hampshire, hidden away on a Saturday night before Christmas, ABC News debate moderators had time for fluff questions about presidential spouses, but asked zero questions about climate change, energy, or the historic International Paris Climate Agreement.
Just remarkable. I come to expect that at a Republican debate, but at a Democratic debate, not a single question about climate change?
That's right. However, the candidates did bring it up themselves. Here's Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
We need to address the planetary crisis of climate change and take on the fossil fuel industry and transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy.
And here's former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley.
The other big challenge we have is climate change. The greatest business opportunity to come to the United States of America in 100 years. We need to embrace this. I have put forward a plan that does this, that moves us to 100% clean electric grid by 2050.
That was likely the first and probably last time voters heard anything about O'Malley's ambitious clean energy proposal. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton didn't bring up climate or energy at all. The next president will carry out the International Climate Agreement, so it is pretty appalling that the corporate media, like ABC, deems it unworthy of presidential debate time. Meanwhile, the only Republican candidate who was not a full climate science denier, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, has dropped out of the Republican race. President Obama, in his final White House press conference of the year, predicted that Republicans and their presidential candidates will fail in attempts to block the landmark Paris Agreement because the world is moving on.
Countries are saying, this is where we're going. We're going to be chasing after this clean energy future. This is how we're going to meet our goals. That combination of market signals means that the private sector is going to start investing much more heavily. They know this is coming.
In Flint, Michigan, newly uncovered internal documents support allegations that officials were warned that Flint's drinking water was contaminated with unsafe levels of lead, but instead the city's emergency manager, appointed by Republican Governor Rick Snyder, and the state told residents for months that the water was safe to drink. Here's Brad Werfel of Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality on Michigan Public Radio a few months ago.
Anyone who is concerned about lead in the drinking water in Flint can relax.
Unfortunately, that was not true. The county has now declared a public health emergency and told residents don't drink the water. In Los Angeles, the city has filed suit against the natural gas company responsible for a massive gas leak at a storage facility since October that has forced over 2,000 people to seek temporary shelter to escape the sickening fumes. Southern California Gas Company says stopping the leak will take another 4 months.
Wow. Just driving past it on the highway not long ago, we could smell this horrible stench coming from Porter Ranch, California. Amazing. And it is said to be leaking the equivalent of 25% of California's greenhouse gas emissions all out of this one place. Just extraordinary.
Finally, billionaire Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's attempts to block the construction of an offshore wind farm near his luxury golf resort in Scotland has now been rejected by Britain's highest court. A Trump representative said, quote, "History will judge those involved unfavorably."
For much more on our stories today and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. From Desi and me to you and yours, here's to a safe and peaceful holiday. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Red nose on the reindeer, tinsel on the tree, but it's a green Christmas for me.
Yeah, maybe greener than we counted on when you get right down to it. I mean, my God, there are trees budding out of all of this. Poor confused little trees. I heard somebody talking the other day, and okay, this is a hillbilly thing, but the first green of spring, the first thing that pokes up through the last vestiges of snow through the frozen earth are those beloved things that we love here called ramps. And there are ramps sprouting. There are ramps sprouting in the hills and hollers of Appalachistan. No kidding. Yeah, we're gonna be 17 shades of screwed up. My God Almighty. And yeah, we're probably gonna have 70 degrees and rain on Christmas Day. No surprise. Yes, it's but I got to thinking. I remember New Year's Eve 4 years ago. Well, 4 years ago this New Year's Eve, it was 72 degrees. So, again, weather's not climate. Climate isn't weather. But as our buddy Ron in the distinctly unfrozen North, this is 5x5 up here in the tropical North. It's supposed to get up to 63 degrees on Christmas Eve in Ottawa. The snowshoe hares are really nervous. They've already turned white, and nothing else is white. And the foxes and hawks are grinning. The other guy smiling is the guy I signed with to clear the snow off my driveway this winter. I take it that was a flat contract price.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 12 minutes past the hour, this is the Horn Titanic Tuesday for the 22nd day of December 2015. And, oh, look, hey, this will be fun. This always is fun. It's our buddy, the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry. Yo, Angry. Okay, why is this not behaving correctly? Wait a minute. Stand by. Okay, I got the right button. Okay, yeah, button's right. Audio. Yeah. Check. Yeah, okay.
Hello, hello, hello.
Ah, it wasn't me, it was you.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I always assume I'm the one who screwed up the audio here, Angry.
No, something made me check the... it's not my computer. You know, this is what we use here in the studio. And they switched something up here, and the system, you got to juggle with things. So my apologies.
No, no worries. I know about that. I was afraid I'd screwed it up because I was trying to transfer the Skype connection from one machine to another machine shortly before airtime. And it turns out there's no driver for the USB audio interface to run with Windows 10. So, strike three.
You can't find one online?
No, not for this thing. Go figure. It's a device that's so damned old and so damned handy that the manufacturer has, of course, orphaned the software for it. Bastards.
That happens. You know, I mean, the entire computer thing, you know, I saw this coming where, you know, if you don't have enough money to keep up with the technology as it advances, then you're really going to be left behind, you know, which is what is great about open source and freeware. But Microsoft is closing in on open source because a lot of European and South American governments have decided to start using open source, I don't want to say products, but, you know, open source software.
And hardware. I mean, well, I mean,
and hardware in a lot of cases, you know, universities.
Yeah, no, I guess there's no such thing as open source hardware, but no, I get the, and you know, I keep thinking I'm going to have another dalliance with Linux. And in fact, got very close to doing that angry, except for the fact that one of our Linux experts took a look at what I was trying to do and said, nope, ain't going to work.
With what you need to do for radio, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I prefer Linux, frankly. And yeah, and this is a Windows machine that I'm dealing with now. And I'm used to Linux, and I don't even like the fuck with Windows anymore. You know, I mean, Windows would crash on me. Programs would crash on me. And then, you know, all of your information is just going right out the window. You don't have any control over it. And they tell you that you do, but there are backdoors built into Windows machines.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and our buddy Randy in PA has been warning me about backdoors in Apple machines now as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, they kind of always were there, and Apple is just like Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft is the Starbucks of the computer world.
Oh, that's damning with faint praise if I ever heard it.
Well, it is. You know, I mean, they put out, you know, products, software, what have you, programs that aren't really ready, and then have to keep sending you patches. And then you have to, you know, eventually you got to, you know, find these patches or your machine is down and you'll lose data. You know, it's your private, you know, bullshit just got sent out. So, no, you know, they're out to make money just like everybody else. I mean, they've even come up with their version of Linux called Manx. It's like half Windows and half Linux. And they're trying to incorporate some of that software into their latest edition. So, you know, Microsoft, Mac, it's gotten to the point now that just like the telephone, you must have these things. If you don't have email,
well, you know, that's so true. This is just a sad little example of how my mind works. When I realize, and this goes all the way back to my childhood angry, when I was a little kid and I would come toddling into the, and they had, you know, my mom had me reading at a very early age. And, you know, hi, Mom, what is, you know, and she'd say, go get the encyclopedia and find out. Because we had one of those ancient weighs 15 tons, has to be delivered with a crane kind of sets of World Book Encyclopedia. And the way they got you on that is that you bought the yearbook every year so that you kept on having to buy from them. But anyway, we had an ancient set, and I would go and look it up, and I was a voracious consumer of the encyclopedia. And as I got older, you know, you get into high school, they teach you about the Periodic Guide to Literature, or the Reader's Guide to Periodic Literature. I was about to confuse that with the Periodic Table of the Elements. And you learn how to do research for stuff that you're trying to learn or, you know, expand it. But then, you know, along comes the interweb tubes. And all of that just went by the boards. So I was sitting, I was sitting waiting for Ferg to come out of, I don't know, get a haircut or something. And I was just looking at the dashboard of the automobile, and it's, you know, I was looking at the tachometer there, and it's revolutions per minute. And I started thinking, because I'm not mechanically inclined, I started thinking, revolutions of what? And I thought, well, by God, I'll just find out. And went to pick up my phone, and revolutions of what, damn it? It's kind of like British thermal units or horsepower or, you know, words we take for granted and probably half of us couldn't define. And so my phone wasn't there. I had, uncharacteristically for me, I had left the damn phone back here at the homestead. And you know what? And this does not speak well. I was really bothered. I was kind of like, you know, halfway to sucking my thumb. It's like my information is gone. I'm an information addict. Where's my information? Wapner definitely comes on at 3 o'clock, you know? So we do. We get hooked. And now I'll get 19 dozen emails explaining revolutions per minute. So that's kind of cool, too.
Well, I understand what you're talking about, you know, in terms of, you know, some people, they dig chess. They can play chess all day. Other people dig news. Some people just dig, you know, knowledge about odd things, history, what have you. That, yeah, you know, that's true. But I'm looking at the capitalist narrative in the sense that, you know, they've set it up in such a way, or at least the world has developed in such a way now, that no one thinks about leaving their home without a cell phone. And cell phones these days are really just computers. So you're connected all fucking day long. But when you start dealing with desktops and so on, you know, now you're dealing with people who are, you know, dealing with their personal information, you're dealing with businesses and what have you. And, you know, there are still banks that are running on Windows XP. There are still people,
did you hear that story I had the other night? And, you know, maybe it wasn't true, maybe it was just but there was a PR story about the new, brand new to be launched British aircraft carrier due out next year, the Queen Elizabeth. And there was a screenshot of a couple of technicians on the ship, and they were sitting in front of a couple of computers, and damned if the screen for one of them wasn't Windows XP.
Yeah.
Now you'd like to hope that maybe that's not the final product, but all of these things are vulnerable. Ron, who I referenced a minute ago. Who has reason to know about such things, points out that there's at least one major backdoor in Linux and a couple of others that take a bit more skill than the average teenage scripter with non-terminal acne, but they're still there, and they can be found and exploited.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, anything that can be built can be broken down. You know, I'm telling you what men I grew up with who were professional criminals would say. If it has a lock, if there's a way to get in, to put something in, somebody else can get in.
Well, yeah, better you know, locks breed better burglars.
You know, I mean, all these guys, you know, that's what they did for a living. And this is the type of, you know, little hand-me-down, you know, when you're sitting in the barbershop kind of bullshit that you hear. That there's nothing that's not possible if you put your mind to it, which is what they were trying to explain to us, but they did it in lingo that you know, worked for them. But what they were trying to tell us was, you know, don't be dismayed and don't give up easily, you know, because there's ways to do shit. You have to really understand what the fuck you're doing. Now, anything that can be created is going to be fucked up, right? So you got security cameras. In many major cities, London, is you can't make a fucking move about being filmed, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen the one particular security camera that sits by, George Orwell's home, and the camera is sitting right next to the plaque, noting that it's George Orwell's house.
Oh, they did that on purpose, really.
That's not a boating accident, Angry.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, 1984 for a lot of goddamn people is a fucking training manual, not a warning. You know, they use that bullshit, like a lot of sci-fi, as a way to, you know, oh. Because the majority of people who wrote that bullshit were conservatives. Robert Heinlein was a fucking conservative.
Oh, well, I've always said that Robert Heinlein was a much more palatable... Robert Heinlein's The Moon is a Harsh Mistress is a much more palatable version of Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah. Well, Philip K. Dick, same thing. He was a conservative.
And see, you know, I binge watched The Man in the High Castle. Agnes and I did over the weekend. And have you seen it?
No.
It's worth it. It's worth it because it. I think it wants to be anti-fascist, but at the same time, you're left going, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's this whole theme that runs through it that if only we could all have guns, blah, 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 blah. And I don't want to create any spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched it. But Philip K. Dick is like that. I mean, I remember as a teenager reading A Scanner Darkly.
Mm-hmm.
And just having my mind blown by it. Now, I read a lot of science fiction as a kid. And I read a lot of literature as a kid, too. And after a while, I began to feel like, you know, maybe the science fiction was being treated unfairly. That it was literature, too. And eventually the world has come along with that. But the visions of the future that were created in the 50s are in many ways here. Short of plugs in our necks. And, you know, with wireless technology, we won't need plugs in our necks. I think that's being proven now. But we'll find a way to integrate the human brain with the inorganic brain. And, you know, hello, Matrix.
Yeah, I know, but people are stuck on the Matrix. And then, you know, what makes a lot of this shit super fucking Rod Serling weird is that people are living up to the fucking negative aspects of a lot of the things that we're talking about. Okay, Ray Bradbury was a fucking conservative, which really fucked my mind up when I found that out. You know, also to find out that he was a bigot. You know, I didn't know that. I think I mentioned this to you before. I'm still tripping over fucking Officer C. Clarke being a fucking pedophile. You know, that just really fucked my head up. You know, here's this advanced scientific mind coming up with the most disgusting excuses because he moved to Ceylon in Sri Lanka, where basically he could do what the fuck he wanted to do, you know?
Yep.
Like these fucking guys to move to Thailand and shit. You know, Thailand, the most hypocritical Buddhist country on the fucking face of the earth.
Because of the sex trade, and particularly the little kid sex trade.
Fuck, you know, that...
I'm frankly surprised that Rush Limbaugh, he must not have had enough time, otherwise he would have gone to Thailand instead of the Dominican Republic.
Well, which is, I don't know.
You know,
with
that bottle of Viagra in somebody else's name.
Well, I mean, the fact that he wouldn't be the only fucking white guy who's a bigot that goes to the Dominican fucking Republic and gets the darkest goddamn women he can fucking find. You know, he wouldn't be the first motherfucker to do that. He wouldn't be the first.
There's
this thing about misogyny in Western culture, or at least right now we're talking about North America, and right now, the United States, that allows R. Kelly to still have a fucking career after his fucking background, right? He's still around. You know, he just walked off a fucking set, a news thing.
Yeah, because somebody questioned him about it, right?
That. Yeah. Yeah, but people still with fucking Michael Jackson, and that, who the fuck really knows? But again, I mean, Michael Jackson wasn't even a real goddamn person after a fucking while. Because those of us who remember when he was the way he was and how the whole fucking family morphed out, it's like a fucking Twilight Zone episode. So here we're talking about science fiction. Here you have people who are living in fucking costume memes 24 fucking hours a day. You got people in fucking L.A. who say that they're vampires, who literally drink goddamn blood. There are psychological reports and shit out on this.
Yeah, I remember 10 years ago when the West Virginia legislature had a hissy, and this was back when it was ostensibly a Democratic majority, but that didn't prevent them from having a bad case of the stupids from time to time. Well, more often than not when you get right down to it. But it was like 10 years ago when they were trying to advance an anti-tongue-splitting bill in the West Virginia legislature.
But there was a reason for that, though.
Well, yeah, there was, because it was being done elsewhere. And now a quick trip to the interweb tubes, and you just look it up, and you go, well, I'll be dipped.
And when you ask these motherfuckers, why do you do this? You're from fucking the middle, you're from Muncie, goddamn Indiana. Why do you want to fucking copy some shit that you read about in a book about something that's being done in Australia? What the fuck does that have to do with you? Well, I'm a lizard, really. Somebody said that to me. Somebody really fucking said that.
And what does the angry Indian do when someone says, well, I'm a lizard, really? I mean, what do you do?
You pick up your fucking coffee, you nod, you smile, and you walk the fuck away. Yeah. What the fuck else?
How nice. See, that's what you do in this. Well, how nice for you. Have a nice day now. Bye.
I mean, Alex Jones just kept going through my head, and I'm looking at this cat, and he was, you know, he had tattooed scales. I started working on his forearms, I suppose, and he had some other earlier things, but he decided that he wanted to be a lizard man. And there already were a couple already. One passed, as far as I'm aware. There was a, here in the Pacific Northwest, there was a tiger man or Leopard Man. He was Native American, too. Tiger Man, Leopard Man, something. And he had all sorts of surgery done so he could really look like this cat and had his teeth shaved into fangs. So, you know, whatever science fiction was created, like, say, the shit that inspired the Nazis. And I'm not kidding about this. I just finished writing about this. Vril, the Power of the Coming Race. It was written by Edward Bulwer Lytton. In 1871, 1872, this shit inspired the fucking Nazis. The idea that
that's the same guy who gave us It Was a Dark and Stormy Night, isn't it?
You know, I'm not really aware.
I think
know
so.
He wrote some other stuff, some poems and what have you. Probably. You might be right. Because I wasn't aware of him until I found that out. Because I was looking up the Vril Society because I thought it was bullshit. It wasn't. There were some crazy fucking white guys that were inspired by this goddamn book. Who were already into the Thule mysticism and the whole German people had the real Aryans mysticism and the black sun and, you know, this idea of the pure Aryan, the pure fucking Aryan, right? And then here comes this little goddamn Austrian who was steeped in this stuff. He was a scholar when it came to the fucking occult. He was a scholar when it came to German history. He was a scholar when it came to runes. Hitler was a freak, but he was not an intellectual imbecile. He just started going fucking crazy in his goddamn megalomania. The hubris of the fucking Nazi Party is what destroyed the goddamn Nazi Party. But fucking, you know, they were built on bullshit and then started capitalizing. I mean, Himmler spent something like $40 billion in today's money to try to prove that the Holy Grail was really in German, you know, was really a German thing, that Jesus Christ was really a German. And that, you know, all of the Jews have to be wiped out. All of the Turks, because they're related to the Jews. You know, all the Africans are subhumans, and we can't enslave them. We have to wipe them out. This is stuff that was being talked about in, you know, Western Europe since the 1800s. He was the first person to try to actually do this shit.
But you know, there's more prosaic stuff that comes down to us. I remember reading about I'm not trying to cast a damn with faint praise or cast aspersions or anything, or asparagus for that matter. But some of the more influential Third Reich types were very much into vitamins, mm-hmm. and organic foods.
Yeah, Hitler was a vegetarian. He was a vegan, actually. He didn't take any dairy in at all. And he had a lot of health problems. He had problems with his internal, like he didn't digest. IBS, I suppose, is what we would call it now. And he suffered from incessant flatulence. He didn't sleep. His doctor, Morell, who a lot of people couldn't understand why Hitler trusted him.
He's the one who kept him coked up out of his mind, right?
Yeah, but he had terrible physical hygiene himself. Women complained that they hated to be in the room with him because his body odor was so bad. Most of his inner circle couldn't stand him. Goebbels thought he was a fucking jerk. But like you just said, he kept him. There was a term that he used for some cocktail he gave him. So some of the steroids and shit that he was shooting him up with and vitamin B and all this bullshit. Yeah, Hitler was a fucking mess, man.
Well, in a way, that reminds me a little bit of... reminds me a little bit of Lincoln, because Lincoln had horrible digestive problems, and the doctor responded by giving him something called Blue Mass. You ever heard of that?
I've heard you talk about it, but
it was comprised mainly of mercury.
Oh, Wendell's patent medicine.
Sorry. Yeah, right, exactly, and brutal. meanwhile, Jack in Shreveport, subject line: Arthur C. Clarke angry says. Ah, oh, fuck. Clark was one of my favorite authors when I was a kid. Why does every fucking thing have to go bad?
Yeah, it really, because you know, what gets me is, first off, you know, you're disgusted. But then, you know, you're thinking, you're like, wait a minute, this is a top-rate fucking mind. This is somebody who debunked all types of bullshit, who talked about the scientific method, who talked about logic, and how he could fucking, you know, when I read the two reports from the European press about this, on the fucking bullshit excuses that he gave on why it was okay and And, you know, all the shit that you hear from those freaks, from those NAMBLA fucking freaks.
There's a history of that angry that runs with money and power down through the ages.
Oh, you looking at England? You see what's going on over there? The scandal over there about this? Ever since Top of the Pops motherfucking why am I blanking on his name right now?
Well, I mean, who was one of the most hilarious things about the rebranding of Jebbia is that he took the slogan of the biggest pedophile, child rapist in English history.
Yeah, Jimmy Savile. That's who I was trying to think of the name.
Yeah, Jimmy can fix it. Jeb can fix it. Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, Jimmy Savile and Rolf Harris. And for those of you who aren't, you know, hip on British media, Jimmy Savile was, I mean, as far as entertainment goes, everybody knew who Jimmy Savile was. Jimmy Savile rubbed elbows, grabbed ass with Prince Charles, with David Cameron. I mean, everybody who was anybody in the fucking conservative.
Right. Party. Well, it's kind of like pictures of that creep from the Duggar family. He was in pictures with every Republican who was anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were some Labor people too, but not like the Republican.
But I mean,
party
but it,
go,
it, it, it goes it goes past that. I mean, it goes back to the Romans. It goes back to the societally acceptable practice among the ancient Greeks of older men grooming younger boys and sexually abusing them, as we would define the term now, until you know they hit puberty or so, and then they were turned loose to go and have a marriage arranged and find a boy of their own. It's rampant throughout Arabic culture. Is it not?
Yeah, it is. Well, actually, Abu Awas, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, is the greatest or regarded as the greatest Arabic poet. But he's also regarded, you know, as a pederast. And that was considered, well, what the fuck is going on in Afghanistan right now?
But again, it's not
fucking had.
You know, this isn't with regard to any particular culture. It seems to be something that follows money and power.
Well, to a degree, but what I'm talking about right now in terms of, because I got lost in what I was going to bring up, in terms of Afghanistan, because I know I've mentioned it on my show, that motherfucking the Marines over there, and the army stationed over there, they can't, for whatever reason, they cannot stop the motherfucking Afghan police from doing what they're doing. The money that American taxpayers, that there's been reports of this. Look at Mother Jones. Look at The Nation, DemocraticUnderground.com, that, you know, fucking our tax money has been going to Afghan police and security forces because they have a tradition over there called dancing boys. I don't remember the exact term for it in that thing. But basically, it sounds like what it sounds like. And mm-hmm. I've watched a documentary where this fucking Marine lieutenant was like, you know, I got kids at home, and I'm trying to tell this son of a bitch, well, I'm using my language now, I'm trying to tell this motherfucker here, he's the head of the goddamn security force, you got to put a stop to this. You got to put a stop to this. And he's like, oh, I can't stop it. Everybody wants to do it. That's our tradition, and basically, if I try to stop them, they might motherfucking turn on me.
And there you go. And it has deep roots inside human culture that I don't understand. What evolutionary purpose does it serve?
Well, it doesn't, but you know,
just to drag it up into the American into the American present, there's something that has been hounded on by the right wing in this country, especially since the ascension of Barack Obama to the presidency. Somehow or another, because you know that one's in our White House, that American men are less masculine than they used to be.
Oh, is that why they called him a pussy not too long ago on the fucking
air? Yeah, see? Yeah.
Embarrassed? this fucking president internationally like that. They're fucking low-life scumbags. Fuck them, man. I can't believe they did that shit.
Well, I mean, okay, so they did that. So and got away with it. I haven't read of the FCC really has no jurisdiction because it's cable. So, you know, they gave a 2-week suspension to the guy who said it, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, I think was his name, ironically.
Yeah.
And they suspended him from being a Foxpert for 2 weeks, and I guess that means that he didn't get the great big government money check from Rupert Murdoch. But just today, over on one of those bizarre programs with that, you remember Andrea Tarantula, who said that Eric Holder runs the DOJ like the Black Panthers? That woman.
Yeah.
Well, here we go again, and what do Fox broadcasters and Fox viewers want out of sex, Angry? I mean, just check this out. It'll blow your mind.
Is he taking a lot of criticism or what for his choice of words when speaking about Hillary Clinton? Listen to this.
Everything that's been involved in Hillary has been losses. You take a look. Even a race to Obama. She was going to beat Obama. I don't know who'd be worse. I don't know. How does it get worse?
And let's be clear. I hate playing this crap. I do. I don't want to give this asswipe free publicity. But by the same token, Angry, you know, we hold up a mirror to American culture here. And so you kind of have to. I mean, this is the state of American political discourse and dialogue now. And you know, Donald Trump uses the cheap gutter words, but the fact of the matter is, the Jebbias of the world just say it more obliquely. But here it comes. Sorry, hockey puck.
But she was going to beat. She was favored to win, and she got. She lost.
Now they beeped out the word schlonged.
Yeah,
and I don't even necessarily and you know, I'm no prude, I'm no shrinking violet, I don't even necessarily know what that means, Angry.
Let's just say it's a little bit of Americanized Yiddish.
Well, okay, I mean, I get that schlong comes from it's apparently a Yiddish word, is it? But it wasn't the first time he had used that. I mean, is he saying that? I mean. Is he saying, because we can use the words here, is he saying she got fucked?
Yeah, he's saying that she was supposed to win and not the nigga that's in, you know.
So who fucked her?
Well, I assume he's pointing out, he's trying to say that it was Obama, and perhaps, yeah, I haven't looked at Stormfront or the Daily Stormer yet, but they're probably saying that he was alluding to some, you know, Jewish conspiracy. To put Barack Obama in.
Illuminati, perhaps?
No, they straight up say Jews. Black conspiracy theorists talk about the Illuminati. The white ones, they put it all on Jews. If you go over to the Daily Stormer, they're saying that all of the resistance that Donald Trump is receiving is coming from the Jewish lobby. It's coming from these secret Jews that are trying to control the country, the ZOG, the Zionist Occupational Government, because they believe that's who they put. Yeah, I mean, that's who put Barack Obama in place, because we all know it wasn't black people, because we're savages and we don't have any money. And in truth, our nickels and dimes did not help him get elected. It was Goldman Sachs. Okay, it was the business community and the military industrial complex. They needed a black face to do what they're doing in Africa right now. All right. The ISIS and El Shabaab and whatever the fuck else terrorist group you want to name. They didn't exist in Africa until AFRICOM decided to reemerge, because there was a brief AFRICOM during World War II. And that when it wasn't needed, it was dismantled. They revived it. Okay, it's back.
Okay, and, so stand by a minute. Let's go back to this dumbass clip for a minute, because I want to get this quote in from Andrea Tarantula. Because These must be some really kinky people. And there's nothing wrong with being kinky. It's that whole consenting adult thing. If we talk about the Jimmy Savile and the Afghan thing, that's pedophilia, and that's not okay, specifically because of the consent issue. But I don't understand these Foxers and right wingers. They're the ones that are supposed to have the upstanding morals, right? I mean, because we're just a bunch of godless heathens. Have I got it right, Angry?
That's what I'm always being told when I say something. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go.
Look who is here. Andrea Tentaros. Welcome back, Andrea. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Trump just walked right into that. I mean, he set himself up. Obviously, Hillary's going to say, it's the war on women. Listen to him. Foul-mouthed Trump. Look at him go. I'm not going to dignify it with a comment. He walked into it.
You know what? I think this is really bad for her. And I'm not going to take the bait on this one. You know why? Because I don't think people care about rhetoric this time around. That old dated playbook of let's change the discussion and let's get Stuart Varney and Andrea Tentaros to talk about a word that could possibly be offensive and hurt women's feelings. I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because Trump is winning the back and forth over this ISIS battle. He's very smart. As much as the New York Times and other media today wants it to make it about women's feelings, she lied about that video. And Trump is very smart. Engaging her in a fight that she will lose on Libya. She has lost. When the New York Times comes out and says that you lied, there is no propaganda video using Donald Trump. In fact, it is your husband, Joe Biden, Barack Obama. Hillary is majorly on the ropes, Stuart, this morning, in a big way.
Okay, but Trump's language doesn't count. In fact, it might be a plus for him. That's what you're saying.
You know why? Because look at the numbers. Look at the other story that's out today with blue-collar voters. The left has culturally tried to feminize this country in a way that is disgusting. And you see blue-collar voters, men, this is like their last vestige, their last hope is Donald Trump to get their masculinity back. I think you're going to see women potentially break with Hillary Clinton, even though Wall Street Journal reports that the numbers aren't there with millennial women in support of Hillary Clinton. And I think the big headline today is blue-collar voters are moving to Donald Trump, and President Obama conceded his fear in that NPR interview. This is a big story, and they are petrified, and they should be.
I'll give you another.
How much acid do you have to take, Angry, to make a goddamn word of that make even a molecule of sense?
I don't know, because I've never done acid, but one has to wonder how much scotch it would take to fucking sit and try to suss that out with pen and paper. It's impossible. And she's so breathy about it, you know, like episode of 24, you know. She's so breathy about it. And she's just so passionate about it. And Donald Trump, you know, she's... You know, against this feminization of the country, of the men.
Well, okay, I mean, maybe I would be against the feminization of men. I don't know. I mean, but wouldn't it have to fucking happen first, Angry? I mean, this is just bullshit plucked live and wriggling from the thin gray settlings that slosh around between their ears.
All right, I'm just gonna talk here. Fucking, I'm just gonna explain this shit the way
it's explained
to me as a young man. Fucking, you can do. I don't care. It's like people remember in a way, in many ways, what the fuck they want to goddamn remember. And those that do politics know this. Hitler certainly fucking said it. The goddamn public doesn't have any memory of Jack. What are you talking about? Well, remember the Armenian genocide?
What Armenian genocide?
Yeah, see, so nobody's going to remember us taking these motherfuckers out either. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. Nobody remembers any goddamn thing because the Armenians didn't fucking count. They weren't white. They're Christian, but they're not white. So who gives a goddamn? The Turks took them the fuck out. The Turks were an empire. We remember them. We don't remember the fucking Armenians. So, you know, as an older man told me when I was young, when I got into a fucking episode, he said, look, man, you got to be conscious of what the fuck you do because people are always watching you. You're always on stage. You can save 100 fucking kittens out of a burning goddamn building. They'll remember that for fucking a day or two. you do a fucking crime, kid, they'll remember that for the rest of your fucking life, and you will always be judged on that shit because that's the negative. You can save all the fucking people in the world, but they remember what's bad about you or what's negative about you. So here it is. We got a lot of fucking you and I talked about this briefly, and for some strange reason, I've been having this conversation with a lot of my friends who have children. All of a sudden now, their children are either changing genders. I'm talking about under 20s. They're changing genders, or they have no gender, right? Then you have metrosexual, whatever the fuck that was supposed
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, but is that there's a really, really deep conversation around all of that to be had. I mean, is not the gender issue, is that not driven by the fact that it's more okay now than it used to be?
Well, maybe for, you know,
that gay straight doesn't necessarily apply, but just as it's okay to come out of the closet if you're gay now, where it wasn't 10, 15, 20, God knows 50 years ago.
Well, depending on where you are, you know, because you can't do that in the goddamn projects.
Well, I know. And that's like the kid in Muncie that you mentioned. It's different one place from another. But the fact of the matter is, on a broad basis, it's more okay to be who you are. Is that what this is? That this ignorant harpy is blathering about? I mean, is this some sort of coded objection to trans people coming out of the closet? And somehow or another, that's liberals' fault?
Well, in a way, that's a piece of it, but this is multi-layered, and we have to kind of look at all of the elements and who this is benefiting and what it's actually reflecting. So what I'm trying to lay out is you've had this, you know, idea of gender and sexuality that had not been discussed in the open before without ridicule. It demands a certain level of respect now. You know, even the Pentagon wants everybody to know that they just lost some people in Afghanistan, and one of them was a lesbian, and that she was out in the military. Only for propaganda purposes, because they're still drilling people out of the military for being gay. They're not telling them, oh, you're gay, you got to leave. They just make it difficult for them to stay in their job. Nothing is monolithic. So what I'm trying to point out is Republicans don't understand that. They see the world one way or the other. So if you have, and like I said, I'm having this conversation with a lot of my friends who are very confused. Because they're like, you know, we never, you know, none of this ever came up. You know, they're not really able to explain anything to us. And all I know is that he or she is into manga. And they're always online. And they don't really talk to people. And he got, you know, there is a certain meme that's happening here. We're not really having a real discussion about this, like you said. But my point is, these are negatives to people who are scared by every goddamn thing.
Right.
And the fact that now you can talk about this without necessarily being ridiculed. You can actually have a news story, and they will talk to the person about it. It used to be in the 70s and 80s, they will find a way to make you look like a fucking jerk in news stories like that. And these people, their only information is fucking Facebook, if they're online, what their friends are reading and send to them, which encourages groupthink, and whatever the fuck they get in the mainstream media. So you have MSNBC and what have you, CNN that might do a straight story, but when they get to Fox News, which is what 90% of these people watch, they try to ridicule these folks. Which bathroom are they going to use? What the fuck is going to happen? What's going to happen in the schools? Oh, my God. You know, the same shit about black people. Wow, they might go to the fucking bathrooms with white kids. Oh, my God. Well, what the fuck is going to happen? You can't have this. They might start dating. Oh, my God. I'm old enough to remember these goddamn arguments. I was still hearing arguments like this in the fucking 80s.
That's
and
two of us.
We started to resegregate the schools. The schools are now being resegregated. So my point is they're taking this shit because it freaks these people out, and they see this, and they capitalize on that. Because if you're worried about this type of shit, if issues about sexuality and gender scare the fuck out of you, if you want to blame your feelings of loss of white male masculinity on the gays all of a sudden being vocal and being out, and now I have to put up with them at work and what have you, then she can get away with saying that because it digs to a fucking fear.
Isn't that and that's where I was leading, Angry. Isn't this at the bottom? See, you're not over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. You're not allowed to say white privilege.
No.
Because it doesn't exist at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. But this that's what they're pointing to. It's not masculine versus feminine. It is white male privilege.
Which is masculine versus feminine. But see, the way they're looking at it is a really fucking juvenile way of looking at it. I should have a right to kick ass. I should have a right to motherfucking abuse you. I should have a right to fucking do whatever because I'm a male and the Bible says God is the head of man is the head of the woman, and who are we to fuck with that? That is a line from the black church.
And if a man putteth on the raiment of a woman, then he shall be taken outside the city gates and stoned to death. Because Bronze Age law is so good.
But see, they read what the fuck they want to read, Brother Bob.
Well, yes.
You know? So it's the same thing with whoever the fuck this chick is, because I don't give a fuck about the name, because I can't remember right now, on Fox. You know, she can say whatever she wants. Here's a woman who's defending a sexist son of a bitch like Trump. But then again, Daniel Holtzclaw, the most famous police rapist in fucking American history right now, he's not alone, but right now we know about him only because he was convicted, because the press certainly didn't fucking report on this shit, okay? How many women supported him? There were women who were donating to his motherfucking legal fund. You know, we pick and choose which ones we're going to fucking hate. You know, and right now everybody's hating on Charlie Sheen, slut-shaming him, but they weren't slut-shaming him before that.
Right. Oh, no, only after the HIV revelation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you know, what he did was fucked up, if they're telling the truth. But it's just really, you know, it's just, you know, back and forth. This is the kind of shit that scares conservatives. And all I'm saying is you have to acknowledge that. If you want to, you know, really deal with them and fucking get them away from you, excuse me, and put them in the fucking corner somewhere, you have to understand where the fuck they're coming from.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. Everything scares conservatives.
Well, yeah, but see, but there's some things that do have to be somewhat acknowledged. I mean, when you have a neighborhood that's been all white for, let's say, three generations, and then all of a sudden here's, say, some Syrian refugees pop in, and you got a bunch of white folks who have never dealt with anybody other than their neighbors. The nearest city is fucking like 60 miles away. They don't leave town very much unless they need to. The kids go maybe to drink, but they come right back. Very few people go to school over there. They're isolated, and they're not bad people. They're not hateful folks.
No, but I'm still struggling here to parse out, and maybe that's my failing, Angry. I'm trying to make sense out of something that's absolutely senseless. How is it that electing, and you know, please, Jesus, it can't happen. How is it that electing Donald Trump president of the United States is going to make blue collar men more masculine? Is that going to change what the laws on the books, and they're going to be able to go out in groups and curb stomp gay LGBT people, and America will be great again? Is that it?
That's the plan. If you read Stormfront and the Daily Stormer and these other white supremacist forums out there, that is the idea. Because what changes law? Not really legislation. It's public will. And this is why when people who leave the United States and they go talk to other folks and they say, damn, man, you come from a fucked up country. And it's like, well, I'm just an American. What are you talking about? You know, I don't have any control over it. They're like, hey, you got people around the world that can't vote. You motherfuckers can vote. You call yourself a democracy and you wage war in the name of democracy. So how do you explain somebody like Trump? And they're flummoxed. They don't know what the fuck to say. You know, what they're hoping is that you get enough angry motherfucking white people that they can force change in the legislative process. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to do a three of guns by everybody arming up, because you and I have talked about this before. With the Oath Keepers over there sharing spit with the police in Ferguson when the feds did not show up the second time, they were trying to make a point. We can march on to D.C. They're trying to make a fucking point here. You know, that they haven't been able to get up enough people who have the balls to do this yet. But that's what Clive and Bundy and all that bullshit is about. That if they arm up, read their websites. If they arm up, they can't tell them what to do. They're going to have to do what we tell them to do.
And you know what? Maybe that makes more sense if you think in terms of the fact that the majority of state governments, which is where the majority of criminal laws get passed, the majority of state legislatures are dominated because of the ongoing strategy of the Koch brothers and the Sheldon Adelsons and whatnots of the world. Because of their efforts, the majority of state legislatures are as right-wing can be.
Mm-hmm. They got the money.
And so, you know, that's where I guess we're going to have a referendum. There's a little town. It's the county seat of Greenbrier County, West Virginia, Angry. And it considers itself to be, as West Virginia towns go, Trey Hip, okay? Artist community. People come down, buy property in Greenbrier County to get away from D.C., that kind of thing. You know, it's only about 4 hours from D.C. Driving. And so, by God, they're going to have, Kelly pointed this article out to me. They're going to have themselves a transgender referendum in Greenbrier County, and I don't care how hip that little town is. Every pulpit in every church will be absolutely on fire with that passage about the man not wearing the raiment of a woman. And there will be a lot of hate generated, and there will be the obligatory, oh my God, I can't believe we're having this conversations about what goes on in the bathroom, when pretty much everybody knows what goes on in the bathroom. But we're going to have that. And I mean, the same thing applies. I live out in the rural hellscape of my county. But you've heard me talking about going over and hanging out in Fayetteville. Fayetteville is a cool little town. Nice little restaurant culture, big whole lot of tourism, a lot of young people, a lot of folks with forward progressive visions. But you know what? We elected a Republican to our state legislature as our delegate who thinks that Barack Obama gives secret Muslim hand signs.
That's what they're counting on. That's what they're counting on. We can go back to sci-fi for just a second. Harold Covington, who called what Dylann Roof did, you know, to my family's fucking church, you know, in South Carolina, when he shot those 9 people while they were praying. He said that was just, you know, coming attractions, you know, a glimpse of coming attractions, because he's like, it's going to get worse. And we're at the forefront of it. He is in the Pacific Northwest. He's somewhere up in Washington State. And he encourages Southerners and people from Montana and what have you, who are still upset because the Aryan Nations compound had closed, to relocate to Washington and Oregon State with the idea that we can, you know, there's only less than 10% of the population in this general area is a minority. So the idea is that they can come over here and outpopulate us. You know, outfuck us, have a lot of white babies.
So why do progressives never have that idea about, say, Mississippi?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been through Mississippi.
No, but I mean, you get my point. It seems like it would be a hell of a lot easier to turn Mississippi into a progressive wonderland than, you know, freaking Oregon.
Well, actually, Oregon is quite progressive. It's much more progressive.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's easier to turn Mississippi progressive than it is to turn Oregon into a right-wing hellhole.
Well, they're going to try. I mean, a lot of the gay people up here, and again, this is what Fox News is alluding to. You know, like, for example, you go to Eugene over here, which isn't that far from Portlandia, and, you know, you'll pass a gay event. And, you know, before all the beards thing started out here, I mean, you know, these cats are lumberjacks. I mean, that's literally what they do for a living. And they're at a gay bar after work having a couple of pints. And, you know, the lesbians here do not look like what the various stereotypes that most people have. You know, in other words, what I'm trying to say is people here just living their own lives, kind of like you do your own little thing. There's no sense of fashion and all that bullshit here. So they don't fit into all those stereotypes. So when two lumberjacks who have been together for 17 years tells a goddamn Trump supporter that, hey, you know, my family was Republican and I actually am a conservative, but I vote Democratic because the Republicans are just too goddamn narrow-minded when it comes to what I do with my life and what other people do with their private lives. That scares the fuck out of them because they have this one image, right? You know, this is what? And it throws them the fuck off. That somebody's sexuality has nothing to do with how the fuck they dress, necessarily. Even though gay culture is gay culture, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with being homosexual. I know many men who are homosexual who do not identify with the gay world at all. They're men, they like other men. But, you know, one of these people that I'm thinking about in terms of that right now, he lives here in Portland, he's a Republican, a black Republican. Is this, you know, I mean, he doesn't go out of his way to act macho, but he's extremely masculine. He's gay, and I ask him all the fucking time, how the hell can you support the Republican Party? This time he's saying he would go for Clinton if he had to, you know, make a decision. But I'm like, how the fuck could you stay within his party knowing what they're about? And he's like, well, how many gay Catholics are there? You know, how many, you know, these are contradictions.
Yeah, I mean, they're contradictions, but it's also very true, Angry. I don't understand how there's a single woman in any of the monotheistic religions, considering how the monotheistic religions treat women.
Fear of God. And fear of being beat the fuck up and burned at the stake or hung or dragged by a donkey to scare the other goddamn women into following suit and doing what the fuck they're told. That's why. The same reason a lot of white people don't speak out against racism, because they know what the fuck can happen to them. Maybe they remember Leola Viola Luizzo, or they don't. But they remember Goodwin and fucking Swerner for getting fucked up for running around with a brother. So, you know, they remember that and ask themselves, is it really fucking worth it? They hung John Brown. John Brown was serious about his anti-racism. What happened to John Brown? And how did they talk about John Brown? They died with their boots on. They made John Brown out to be a maniac.
Well, what's the? I ran across a news story. You mentioned John Brown. There was a teacher who asked her students to compare. Oh, let me see if I can. How does this work? There it is. There it is. There's a teacher. Her name is Sirin Hashem, and she's suing her school district for unfairly canning her. She got reprimanded in May 2014. Now, she's a teacher in Hunterdon County, New Jersey. She's a high school teacher, okay? She's not like she's teaching third graders. In 2014, she was reprimanded for teaching a segment on John Brown's raid at Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, which, of course, was then Virginia. But in the lesson, she asked, and you know, this is that critical thinking stuff that Dr. Bill keeps talking about, which is critical if we're going to have any kind of an informed or halfway intelligent populace. She asked her students, and she didn't ask them, you know, a leading question is unfair in a court of law because it suggests the answer that the questioner wants, right? Well, she didn't do that. She asked her students to compare John Brown's raid at Harper's Ferry to what happened in New York City and the Pentagon on 9/11. Now, this woman, who is a Palestinian woman, who is a fully certified high school teacher in New Jersey, was reprimanded for doing that, even though that is a question and a unit that is in common usage throughout the United States. but she got reprimanded for it. She also got reprimanded because she showed a movie clip about Malala Yousafzai. Okay, the young Afghan girl who got shot in the head for wanting to learn to read. Mm-hmm. So she showed a movie clip about her in her history classroom. Meanwhile, one of her colleagues, who is a white woman, or at least an American woman, you know what I mean? Well, she showed the same clip. The co-worker teacher, Lindsay Wagner, showed it as well. And the superintendent got after Serene Hashem. And when Serene Hashem said, yeah, but Lindsay showed the same clip, Christina Steffner, the school superintendent, allegedly replied, yeah, you're not Lindsay. She's not Arab. She's not Palestinian. And she is not Muslim.
Oh.
I mean, that's where we are, Angry.
Well, it's where we've been. You know, it's just now because of the internet, we know about these little incidences. You know, these things have always happened. You know, I mean, like I said, not too long ago in Florida, there was a teacher who used a simple magic trick to explain a scientific lesson and was fired for wizardry.
Yeah, demons.
And this was allowed to stand. Okay, yeah. Science. You know, you have another family, they're suing their school district so that they can teach science because they're fucking teaching evolution instead. So, yeah, you know, we're there. And here comes Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't believe in the bullshit that he's saying. Donald Trump is a motherfucking jerk. You know, he's an egotistical son of a bitch. And I hope everybody goes on YouTube and checks out what's the deal, Trump, what's the deal, so you can really see what the fuck I'm talking about. You know, he's a crooked man, has always been crooked. And now after dissing Putin, now he's cool with Putin. Now he and Putin are sucking each other's fucking dick now, you know, in the damn press. They like each other. And so these Republicans who would jump on anything that Fox has to say negative about Putin and Russia in general, because they still think that they're communists, they're okay with Trump being okay with Putin and saying that this is a good thing. They can get along with each other. Do they know what the fuck they're talking about? No.
No, not even a little bit.
You know, all of us. Go ahead.
No. I mean, but you talk about Putin and Trump and I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a new article out by Seymour Hersh.
Oh yeah.
and this is real disturbing.
Oh yes.
Published by the London Review of Books.
Books.
And Seymour Hersh, who is notorious for having impeccable sources. I mean, this guy, you know, he is and has been, and I mean, he does journalism, investigative reporting. Okay? And so he's alleging in this article that formerly Joint Chief of Staff General Martin Dempsey pulled an end run on Barack Obama and shared information with the Israelis, the Germans, and the Russians to make sure that the United States could not remove Bashar Assad from power in Syria.
Now, what is Chelsea Manning in the joint floor?
Yeah. Nothing funny about that. I don't know why I laugh, but...
Right? What is Assange hold up for?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And here it is. You have Petraeus and his motherfucking stupid goddamn scam. How the fuck do you figure you're the main man in the goddamn agency? The CIA. And nobody's going to know that you're fucking around? You know, that's the level of incompetence that will come in with Trump. But yeah, you know, this is bad. This is bad. And it's embarrassing.
Well, I mean, if you read the whole article, there's a credible case to be made for General Martin Dempsey actually being right on this, that we did not need yet another power vacuum in the Middle East.
True.
Especially right next door to the power vacuum we created in Iraq. That's the strategic side of it. On the other hand, however, doesn't this sort of put the lie to the whole idea of civilian command and control of the military?
It puts a lot of things in goddamn question. Because in one sense, the military's no fucking good if they're not going to follow orders. Right? You know, they're supposed to follow their goddamn directives given to them by the civilian fucking command, which is supposed to be the president. Chief executive, you know, commanded military and all that bullets. Obviously, they disagreed. You know, but see, we don't even know for sure, really. And I've only read pieces of Tsai's piece. We really don't even know if it was, you know, the NSC or, you know, the inner circle up there in the Oval Office that sat there every morning and made that decision with Obama saying, okay, yeah, I sign off on this because I understand what the fuck is you're actually telling me in terms of intelligence and such and such. Or this is something coming from the Pentagon, you know, or the, you know, whoever the fuck. And they're like, well, look, this is what we think you should do. And he disagreed with it. You know, we really don't fucking know for goddamn sure, because with Cy Hirsch, usually his source is one person. And so, you know, even though he gives a well-rounded thing, this is a perspective from one individual most likely.
Well, in this article, though, it's multi-sourced.
In this case, yeah.
It has broader implications because for the nine people who watched the Democratic debate the other night, of whom I was one, this issue actually came up. And Bernie, on the one hand, was saying, listen, ISIS is the... And you know what? I hate, goddamn hate, bullshit dualities. I despise them. But the duality was put out there Saturday night, that we can either go after ISIS or we can go after ISIS and Assad.
Yeah.
And Bernie chose the curtain where Carol Merrill is now standing and said we need to go after ISIS, and then we'll deal with Assad later on a multilateral international basis. And Hillary said no, goddamn no. We've got to do them both right now. Now, like I said, I hate bullshit dualities because, see, I think there's an option three out there, Angry. And I like to file it under the gentle subheading of, why don't we try minding our own fucking business for a change?
Well, at this point, really can't. And I'm being very serious about that. If the U.S. was to pull out, okay, you know, let's just say, you know, literally. Because even Sanders isn't going to do this, if people are thinking that. You know, let's just say the U.S. has pulled out all of its forces, just like right away. Just, you know, just stopped everything. Suspended operations, pulled it all back. Instead of a tailored, you know, fallback. Just, you know, did what everybody really wants and just stopped. Haven't people been reading the international news? This is what we were saying earlier about the Fox News types. They don't go look for sources. They don't investigate a story any fucking further than what they tell them on the show, whatever Steve Doocy or whatever the fuck his name is tells them on the show, right? And they're not going to look at the European press or the Arab press because they're scared to look at the Arab press, you know, even though you can get it translated in English.
Well, you can probably, yeah, but you can probably catch the ISIS just from reading a newspaper in Cairo.
Well, I'm not looking at any of ISIS's shit, but, you know, you don't need to. Because in the mainstream fucking press in Europe and the English language Arab goddamn press, even in fucking the Spanish language press, they're reporting with legitimate reporting now on how ISIS is getting the fucking remnants of past bullshit, and they're supposedly losing shipments of guns, supposedly losing shipments of this. You need bullets and all that shit to do what the fuck they're doing. They have to be getting support from somewhere. Now, we all know that it's being reported, even though people are denying that this is much of an issue. They're not denying that it's happening, that the state of Israel and Turkey are basically keeping ISIS going, because they're buying a lot of their goddamn black market fucking fuel. In the case of Israel, they're doing it for the settlements. I mean, in the case of Turkey, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. Exactly.
Well, they're doing it to keep pressure on the Kurds, aren't they?
Well, maybe, but they're not going to let the Kurds get any goddamn thing.
I know you say angry. We're too far gone to be able to mind our own damn business. And I'm just offering this up as a thought experiment, okay? Because I know better. The United States is not going to mind its own business. We couldn't if we had a hand delivered memo from Jesus H. Christ telling us to mind our own business. And George Washington, which, incidentally, we kind of do. But, so there's maybe 30,000 ISIS thugs. I mean, can we call them thugs?
Yeah, because that's what they are. Right. They're fascists. I call them what they are, because they are fascists. They're Arab fascists. They're part of the Arab fascist matrix.
They are part of the Sunni Arab fascist matrix. Because we got to work that in there, because the difference between Sunni and Shia, granted the American people don't have a freaking clue, but the difference between Sunni and Shia is not the difference between Lutherans and Presbyterians.
No. Because Bush didn't understand the difference. And don't ask him about anything else.
So let me ask you what happens. I mean, this is such a desperate goddamn threat. And again, I'm only suggesting this as a thought experiment. What happens if almighty ISIS, and you know, if you say that three times, the lady from the Saturday morning live action cartoon shows up. But what if ISIS goes a marching, you know, on Baghdad? And let's say they take Baghdad, although they can't, but let's say they do. What happens when they start marching, because sooner or later, the religious angle might come into play, Angry. What happens when they get their inner Muhammad on and start marching on Mecca?
Well, that's a possibility. But it wouldn't be because they're thinking about Muhammad, because these motherfuckers are not religious.
They're thinking about controlling the oil field, but the paradigm that they use is Muslim and classically Arabic. Okay, what if they go marching on Mecca? You know,
well they can go ahead. But
I mean, fuck all. What if they decide to march on sacred Jerusalem?
Well, that's not going to happen, because if that was going to happen, it would have happened already. Everybody who has been paying attention to this shit has noticed and talked about it. At least in my Twitter timeline, it's been brought up. Why hasn't ISIS attacked Israel? They haven't. They haven't attacked Egypt either. They haven't. Now, I'm going to tell you something else a lot of people don't know, and I don't have the data in front of me, but you go on whatever search engine you use, you can go look for it. Israel, the IDF, has actually been risking soldiers. They're pulling ISIS motherfuckers out of the field who have been wounded, and they're treating them in Israeli hospitals. That's not me, and that's not a conspiracy theory. I read this in the Israeli press.
Well, one of the assertions out of this Hirsch article is that, among other things, that pressure was put on Assad to reach an entente with the Israelis over the Golan Heights, and to make sure that Hezbollah in Lebanon doesn't raise any ruckus for Israel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because see, a lot of people who do not know anything at all about the Arab world, and even then, I'm speaking peripherally. You know, my wife's a Christian Palestinian. You know, she's not involved in any of that. And I'm being straight up, they're kind of snotty and feel that they're above a lot of that shit, because they see themselves as Westerners. But when you start dealing with the politics and the social politics of what goes on there, Syrians have never really backed Palestine. They actually look down on Palestinians. Palestinians in the Arab world are like black people. They're on the social bottom. So they don't give a fuck about Hezbollah, which is supportive of the Palestinian situation. So, you know, they are not going to allow the Lebanese, in terms of the Palestinian Lebanese, or what has become that part of Lebanon, right, to have any sway, kind of like what's happening with Turkey and the Kurds. So if they can make some kind of deal like that, they probably will. But, you know, I'm also wondering in terms of intelligence, if they're saving some of these ISIS guys to try to turn them. But if they're doing that, I don't see what the point of putting that in the press is, unless you're trying to twist the propaganda. I don't know. But it's become extremely, I mean, to say that the Middle East situation, Middle East, Western Asia, is complicated is resonated air.
And that's the whole point. We are terrible. I mean, we this isn't a Democrat or a Republican thing. This is an American history thing, Angry. We are terrible at foreign policy. We've never been any good at it. We get our lunch eaten every time we sit down at a table.
Yeah, but this is a mixture of foreign policy and petroleum.
It's foreign policy, it's petroleum, and trying to understand the Asian, because it's Asian, okay? Middle East is a bullshit word, an Asian mindset, and it has bedeviled white Europeans and white people generally going back to the Greeks and the Romans.
Yeah, but we've talked about this before, too, when we talked about T.E. Lawrence and Gertrude Bell and what have you. T.E. Lawrence told them, and people can watch the movie if they don't want to read any of the history. As long as you don't see yourselves as Arabs, but you better start. Because, you know, your tribe this, tribe that, tribe this, tribe that. You're fighting over every goddamn thing, but they're going to fucking eventually take this goddamn area over. Nobody even thought about the petroleum yet.
I think I may have the clip you're thinking about. I've got it right here. Stand by. This is from the movie. This is Peter O'Toole.
So long as the Arabs fight tribe against tribe, so long will they be a little people, a silly people, greedy, barbarous, and cruel.
And that was the Western imperialist view. And remember, that's also the operative theory behind back when Pappy Bush allowed the first Iraq war to boil up. The Glaspie memo. The United States takes no position on Arab-Arab conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he's a good pal with the Saudi family.
Well, hell yeah. I mean, and his boy kissed the king right on the mouth while holding hands and walking through the bluebells, Angry.
Mm-hmm. And you notice not one of the anti-gay folks said anything about that or Cheney's daughter. Not one.
No, I'm trying to get to a broader point. And Ron takes me to task a little bit. He says if the U.S. pulled out of altogether, what does Western society, let's include Europe in this scenario, do with the extra 2 to 3 million refugees that will stream out from Syria and surrounding areas? Pulling out completely is akin to throwing more fuel on the fire that currently consumes political dialogue in the U.S. Trust me on this, but Shia are far more volatile than Sunnis when push comes to shove. And I'm not going to take issue with that. Ron continues, ISIS taking over Mecca and Medina, gaining control of Saudi oil, would be the best move on the board to move the West towards alternative power generation and a major push towards some real movement on climate change. I mean, it's true. It's true. Now, we wouldn't let that happen.
Well, that's assuming because that they actually did
if they,
that.
Yeah, if they,
home.
Right, if they started marching toward the Saudi border, we would carpet bomb.
Well, yeah, it's not going to get that. Yeah, see, that's what I was suggesting earlier. It's not going to get that motherfucking far. You know, Israel is where it is for a reason. It is a white colonialist state, okay, founded by atheistic Zionists who did the same thing in Uganda and offered to do the same thing in Paraguay and offered the same thing to the Tsar. We will back you up and take out whatever native problem you have. Let us have a Jewish state. So
Israel is a Euro-American aircraft carrier that's parked on the Levant,
and we're paying for it. You know, a lot of goddamn money that could be used to take care of home. But in any case, that is the point of them being there. They are the gendarmes of the area. Okay, you know, and we also know, for those of us who pay attention, and if I can believe the papers I'm reading, Israel cannot deal with a real war against a real nation. They can stomp on Palestinians. They can invade Lebanon. they can attack Syria every now and again. And depending on who's in office in Egypt, you know, they might have a scuffle or two. But that's about as far as it's going to go.
And hence the nuclear arsenal.
Well, yeah, and we all know they got that, right? So let's say ISIS moves all the fucking way over. Well, they haven't even tried, because we know that they're not trying to. There's something going on that's not right about this. You know, now, even though I'm of the personal belief that ISIS was an accident, I don't agree with those folks that believe that, or Daesh, really, I should say, because I think it's fucked up that they used the name of an Egyptian deity for this shit in the Western press. Call these fuckers what they call themselves. The goddamn fascists call them Daesh, Islamic State. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, okay, accidentally, they come around, you know, this resistance. I mean, we've all read in the papers, Bob, you know this. They said, oh, well, by the way, especially The Guardian and The Independent in the UK, oh, by the way, these cats that are against Bashar Assad or this particular fucking family, well, a lot of them are religious goddamn extremists. Okay, no problem. We'll just deal with it later on.
It don't work that way.
Well, they think that it does because they don't live there. They don't give a shit. Just put a Band-Aid over the fucking problem and move on. That's a problem when you have a military that thinks like that. See, this is why they shouldn't say Department of Defense. I'm a conservative. Take it back to what the fuck they used to call it, the War fucking Department, because that's what you're doing.
Yeah, it's the war machine.
And prosecute a war then, if that's what the fuck you're going to do. No, that's not
March your hat. And you know what? And you know what? If Barack Obama wanted one angry, he could do something that no one has done since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It would be the one thing that absolutely sprayed roach crazy Congress would get down with. He could get in the car, take a little toddle to Capitol Hill, walk in, ask a joint session of Congress to declare war on Daesh, and the Congress would fall all over itself doing it.
Mm-hmm. And the stocks would go up for munitions again.
You're damn right. Now the question is, why not? And you know, I look back to ancient history because I'm a nerd. And as usual, there is an almost direct one-to-one analog for all of this. And it's the piracy crisis of the late Roman Republican, first century BCE. And the Roman Senate gave to Pompey what amounted to the authorization for use of military force. They gave him all the legions he wanted. They gave him the entire Roman Navy, such as it was, and said, go clean out the pirates. And they also gave him a boatload of gold. And he went and he killed some and he crucified some and he bought some off. And suddenly he comes back and he is the common savior of mankind. And like I was talking about, I guess, last night, they built a statue of him holding the globe in his left hand. Mm-hmm. Now, if you really, really, and I feel icky saying this because I'm anti-war.
So am I.
But if you really, really want to do this, you go do this.
Yeah, but remember what Orwell said, right? We just finished talking about him. You know, he being rudely, dismissed by putting a surveillance camera right next to him. You know, fucking, the war is meant to be continuous. It's not meant to be won.
Oh, bingo.
You know, this obviously is meant to continue. Now, I don't know what's going through Mr. Obama's mind. I'm not a member of the National Security Council. You know, I'm not Wayne Simmons and making, you know, sitting here lying on this show or my show talking about why, you know, I'm an analyst for the CIA, so I know more than you do. You know, or Waleed Shobat, who lies all the goddamn time and tries to get people hurt. You know, I don't know what the fuck is going through their goddamn minds with this. I do know that, you know, the military heads are thinking one goddamn thing, which is pretty obvious when you read military media, you know, when you read their blogs and what have you. I'm talking about, you know, the Marine shit and, you know, Stars and Stripes and what have you. You know, it's not that nobody it doesn't want to get rid of Daesh. Nobody really knows how to do it without causing another fucking problem.
Well, that always happens. I mean, that's
well,
that's
well,
the, that's
happened if people stayed out.
I mean, that's the nation. That's the nature of whack-a-mole military strategy, which is what we're in right now. Because Daesh arises out of what we goddamn did in Iraq in the first place.
Yeah. Well, we can go back even further, but in modern history, yeah, exactly. 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 You know, blowback. Isn't that what they call it? Blowback. You know, they didn't expect this to happen. You know, okay, it's just like Tookie Williams, the L.A. man who founded the, the Crips. Now, he didn't mean for it to get out of hand. He didn't think this shit was going to be international. When you got Cambodian youths and shit flashing, you know, L.A. gang signs and shit. You know, in fucking Hobart, New Zealand, they're fucking flashing L.A. gang signs.
Yeah, and you know what? Israel did not mean, I mean, Israel created Hamas because they hated the PLO so much.
Well, they didn't really create it, but they certainly helped it grow. Because they figured they'd rather deal with a right-wing goddamn Palestinian government than a left-wing Palestinian government that had a big umbrella.
And it was, you know, and the PLO was largely secular, corrupt as hell.
Yeah, in the segments, yeah.
And so, you know, suppress them and, we can deal with Hamas. No, you can't. But lo and behold, look, it turns out to be very good for business. Granted, everyday Israelis who would like to just live their fucking lives, you know, be able to be discriminated against for being female and not getting to ride this bus and having to go to the back of that bus and, you know, all those things that make just another happy day in Israel, you know, they don't want to be bombed. And they get territorial and they get nationalistic. And guess what? Lo and behold, that makes Israel safe for the rise of a right-wing fascist government.
Yeah, but look at what else is
hello,
going
baby.
On. Go ahead.
Sorry. No. I was just, you know, hello, baby. Go ahead.
You know, you know, every time I talk about this, I know there's another page or interview somebody from Israel. There's another page added to my fucking Mossad file. You know, I realize that. But, you know, one of the fucking things that, you know, we have to look at with a lot of this, I feel, is the what they call it now, microaggressions. The sociopolitics of the region, of the culture, of the people there. If they were really, Palestinians and Israelis, the fucking funny thing is they've passed laws over there. A lot of Americans don't realize this. To prevent interracial dating. You know, because you got Israeli girls jumping over the gate and sneaking over to, you know, these border towns to be with their Palestinian boyfriends. They're getting pregnant. They marry the cat in Palestine and then go through the legal process of trying to bring him over.
Well, there goes all your racial purity. Damn.
You know, well, that's what they're worried about. You got a whole lot of gay mixed couples, Israeli, Palestinian, and they're fighting on both sides so that they can be together. You know, if you have to come up with a law against something, that means that you're seeing that as a problem that you can't stop. There were laws here against interracial marriage,
right? But
you know,
Daesh has
sexual laws.
All authoritarian governments lean in that direction. Sumptuary laws: you can wear this color but not that color, and only so many ounces of gold. Yada yada yada.
To maintain the tribal identity, to maintain the differences between groups.
And the fact of the matter is, you can go back to Sykes and Picot.
Can't blame everything on that, though.
No, but I mean, them and their little straight-edged rulers, and who cares what tribes these people come from? We're just going to impose some nice European colonial order on them, and we can kill any of them when they get out of hand.
But that's
not the reality, okay? I mean, the reality of southern Iraq is that it is much more attuned to the religious and ethnic identity of Iran, and the reality, the reason that Daesh gets away with what it gets away with in places like Fallujah and Ramadi is not so much that they invade as they are invited in, and they're invited in by Sunnis because the Sunnis have been being oppressed by the Shia.
Yeah, but see, but the reason I don't want to say you know, outright or broadly, because, you know, people will take the generalizations and run with them, that they're invited. It's more like, well, I can't stop you. You got a lot of fucking guns, and these guys are kicking my ass. So if you can give me a little bit of a reprieve and keep my daughter from being attacked, you know, I does nod and say hi to you when you walk by.
The devil I know versus the devil I don't.
Yeah, but they got the guns. What are they going to do? They're going to tell ISIS to fuck off? They'll just kill the guy in front of his fucking family, then probably burn his house down just to prove a point. There's no saying, oh, we're...
Well, sure, that's how fascism works, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly how fascism works. You know, but see, somebody tried to argue with me a couple of nights ago that, well, that's the same thing that happened in Afghanistan and the Russians, isn't it? And I'm like, no. Look at the history.
No, this is stuff that goes back, and, you know, maybe this is what makes me have such a hard time with all this angry. I see this as the outgrowth of 400 years of Christian European policymaking. Because the way we conceived of nation states in the Middle East following the ultimate failure of colonialism is that we still had this notion that the nation state as conceived in the Peace of Westphalia was gonna work in another corner of the world.
Well, they didn't think that. They were going to impose that.
Exactly.
You know, and the reason I'm saying that is, you know, when people are like, well, you know, because I get into arguments with brothers like this, you know, it's just white people that do this. And I'm like, you got to get that out of your fucking head. You really got to get that out of your head. China's doing that shit in Tibet right now. I can point to South American history and point out the same goddamn thing. You know, we can look at Vietnam in terms of, we can talk about, you know, the United States and France, but they have fought China off for fucking damn near 800 years.
So isn't this the explosive result of the mixture of European nation state theory running up against tribal theory?
Yeah and no, because, you know, most tribes see themselves in what we would say, you know, they recognize themselves as a state. They have a leadership, whether it's, you know, one or three people, 15 people, whatever the case may be. They have their territory, whether they move around or not. I mean, it's just, you know, the terms of concept, they see themselves as an entity, and that should be seen. But the thing about, you know, the flag-waving state, that involves the idea of legal representation by an usually arbitrary body that recognizes other states, usually on the strength of they have guns and can protect their borders and repel their borders. Not the fact that, well, did they actually grew up there, or, you know, that this is where these people originated. They've been there for so many generations, you know.
But you know what? The United States needs to, the reason I'm brought up tribal sensibilities, you know, if we say the word tribal, we inherently invoke imagery, angry, of brown people. On the other hand, however...
It's ridiculous, but yeah.
Well, but isn't it? Don't we?
Well, yeah, but it's silly to me. I see the Irish and the Scots as tribes.
Which is where I'm going, because you know what word you use when you want to talk about the Scots-Irish? Clans.
Well, that's an argument in and of itself.
Clans. Mm-hmm. And the clannishness of the Scots-Irish in the United States, of course, that's the humongous population of the American South. And you know what? Go to a football game in Oxpatch, Mississippi, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Baton Rouge, or Athens, Georgia, or Columbia, South Carolina, or Knoxville, Tennessee, or Gainesville, Florida. And you know what? Somewhere along the way, if you check with the stadium police, they've arrested a guy wearing Florida colors, a white guy, drunker than Adam's off ox, for taking swings at a guy wearing Alabama colors or Mississippi colors. Okay, part of the reason we can't get over the Civil War in the United States is that very same tribalism. And bless his heart, Kurt Vonnegut talked about this stuff in that in his essay about Wampeter's Foma and Grand Falloons. He talked about meeting a woman on a flight one time between X and Y, and she said, "You're from Indiana? I'm a Hoosier too." And said, you know, and suddenly it was as though we were kith and kin. When I didn't know the woman from Adam's, well, there's Adam's house cat again. But it's
Well, look,
it's arbitrary and it's bullshit unless it is in its most ancient form a matter of extended kinship. But we've done away with that idea with the nuclear family.
Yeah, but when it comes to the South, you got Shelby Steele. You got, well, I was going to say Shelby Steele.
Shelby Foote.
Shelby Foote, thank you. Right? And, you know, defending William Faulkner, right? And, you know, then you got James Baldwin and his critique of Faulkner. And that idea that, you know, the Southern people are particular people that, you know, the slavery would have gone away if people just left us alone. All right, there's somewhat of a truth to that. But at the same time, what Baldwin was pointing out was that, well, hell, you know, Faulkner's in a position to sit back with his pipe and say that shit because he's a white man who will still be on top of the food chain. I'm paraphrasing. You know, he's Mr. Charlie. And if things stay it the same way that they are, and whites who stay in power, you know, let in a Negro here and a Negro there and groom them the right way, well, then things are okay. We just need time to do that. You want everything up front. You want to work next to me tomorrow. Fuck that. Right? We had a damn Princeton president who became president of the United States who brought fucking racial segregation back into the federal government after they had been removed. And yes, he was a Democrat, but you notice that none of these Republican jerk-offs, though, mention goddamn Wilson when it comes to that.
Oddly enough, though, his was the first name that came to people's lips when they talked about W going to be a nation builder.
Yeah, Wilsonian diplomacy, right? Isn't that what they told us in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Wilsonian diplomacy.
And, well, that and making the world safe for democracy.
Yeah, but they talked about all of the little groups. They did the same thing in 1968. The UN passed a goddamn resolution and says that, you know, minority groups around the world, especially indigenous groups, have a right to wage armed, you know, resistance against a violent state, a state that is, you know, singling them out for, you know, marginalization. But of course, they put caveats in that, you know, in terms of violence and, ethnocide and what have you. But, you know, there's a UN resolution in place that says that, you know, marginalized people have a right to resist their being killed off. You know, not to just, you know, move them from one place to another, but from being decimated. And we never hear these discussions brought up into this when it comes to Syria and all this other shit, which is not excusing the fucking terrorism. You know, I'm not a goddamn fan of Hamas. I know Hamas for what I recognize Hamas for what it is. They're fucking fascists, too. You know, they told the women and the homosexuals over in Palestine that when we get elected, which happened, right? And why did that happen? You know, that they were elected because they were the only resistance to the goddamn Israeli state. Every time you see Mahmoud Abbas, he's hugging on, you know, Netanyahu, shaking hands with Netanyahu, kissing Netanyahu on the cheek. You know.
Oh yeah. A lot of people are loving this conversation. Angry. I've got a nice note here from Robert in Australia. Subject line: My neighbors. He says, "In the small complex where I live, my upstairs neighbor is Russian. The neighbor behind me is Chinese. Other neighbors are from various countries in Europe. Only four of us in a 15-unit complex are born here, but everyone's an Aussie. Yes, we have our fair share of loony right wingers who scream, 'This is Australia. Speak English.' And our forefathers came here and built this country for us, not them." I get to do the stupid, the silly accent, the bad accent, not silly, but bad on my... And Robert says, "They always forget to mention our very own genocide of the native Australians, but we also have people who will stand up in public to those right-wingers." And a news link here, passengers come to rescue of a woman after a racist rant on Sydney train. And those are inspiring moments. And just a couple of other notes that have come along. Ron, in the not even vaguely frosty north, says, let's revisit the residue of whack-a-mole you mentioned. We expended hundreds of billions of dollars, 57,000 U.S. military members who qualify for their names on a wall in D.C., and another 600,000 with some form of permanent disablement to keep that domino from falling, and it didn't work. The strategy didn't work, but it didn't have much impact in terms of a ripple-enabling effect. That was politics rather than religion. Religion is dangerous, enabling shit that tends to remove reason from the discussion. If it's a religious dispute, e.g. fundamentalist Islam, read Taliban, stay the fuck out of the discussion. We have nothing to add and no right to add to the discussion, and there ain't, and this was all caps, and there ain't no upside. Now, meanwhile, regarding Klans and football, there should be a law that anyone showing up at a football game with a set of bagpipes should be summarily arrested on the basis of animal cruelty laws relating to squeezing a Tomcat's ball beyond the bounds of civility. True on both counts, but that goes to my larger point, Angry, that we have no clue what we're doing over there. We're playing checkers with people who invented the game of goddamn chess.
Well, yeah, but a lot of it is put down to, well, we don't understand the history. Well, a lot of that's true. A lot of that is true. But again, they're looking at short-term bullshit all the time. Okay, well, we'll do this. Is the oil flowing? Okay, fuck it. I mean, we should be embarrassed that the U.S. military went to fucking Afghanistan and is basically trying to give the facade that they're in control of the country when they're not. The heroin is still fucked. They've had bumper crop of goddamn opium ever since the U.S. has been there. All of that shit is flowing into fucking
when
Europe.
The Taliban had dried that up, Angry. We need to note that in that context.
You know, they got rid of, you know, I can't remember his name right now, but, you know, he was a particular warlord that the U.S. is working with, and turns out he's complicit in having hundreds of men shot in trucks and then buried in the middle of fucking nowhere. And they have to pay men like this to get the oil back in fucking fall.
Well, and see, the other night when me and those seven other people were watching the debate, there was a segment on the heroin crisis in the United States.
That's affecting your area, yeah.
Well, my area is more affected than any other area in the United States. We've got the highest OD death rate in the entire country. But they were up at St. Anselm College in New Hampshire, so it had to be about New Hampshire's heroin problem. And from all three candidates, Martin O'Malley, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders, there was much hand-wringing. And, oh, my gracious sakes, whatever shall we do about this program? We need more treatment facilities. We need better addiction care, blah, 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 blah. And maybe it would have been deemed unproductive to the overall general inquiry, I guess. But none of those three candidates seem to find it even useful to point out why we have the heroin epidemic. And it didn't just suddenly happen. It wasn't like America's drug using population looked up and said, you know, I'm so bored with the crack and the meth and the, yeah, I just long for the good old days of being able to haul my rig up and run a hot number up my arm. 'Cause that ain't what it was. We have a heroin epidemic in this country because we couldn't mind our own business in Afghanistan. And, I mean, it goes A, B like that, Angry.
Well, I'll give you one that's close to the home. Well, there's a gang problem. You're goddamn right. And poor people, excuse me, poor people are the victims of it. Poor people are the victims of these goddamn gangs. Through drug use, through the fucking prostitution, through the fucking human trafficking. Girls are disappearing in small towns in Mexico. In small towns in goddamn California, if the rumors I'm hearing are true. Because we certainly know there's fucking damn near 1,400 missing women, indigenous women from the U.S.-Canadian border. 600 First Nations men missing from the U.S.-Canadian border. About a goddamn, depending on who you ask, 3,000 indigenous Spanish-speaking women from the U.S.-Mexican border. Yeah, there's a gang problem. That basically came out of fucking California. We just finished talking about the Crips, right? He started that bullshit as an offshoot of the Black Panther Party for self-defense. the members from the Black Party, from the BPP, went to jail. They got set up on the COINTELPRO. So there's no discipline. There's no leadership out there, right? The same thing happened in Chicago. The exact same thing happened in Chicago. You had the vice lords who became politicized and started moving away from crime to community building, started sending people to law school. The police admit that. When they started sending the members of the Black Panther Party to prison and started trying to set them up against other black groups and what have you, when they caused that, there was no discipline out on the street, right? So what happened? The vice lords went back to selling dope, and the Crips had no leadership and started brutalizing the community by selling drugs to earn money. Then that created the Bloods because they had to defend themselves against the Crips. And that started a black civil war that's been going on for more than three goddamn decades, that if it was happening in Europe, they would call it a civil war. And when you look at the Mexican or Latino gangs, it's the same goddamn thing. They started just rounding up people from Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Northern Mexico, put them in the goddamn L.A. prison system, where because of the racism in the goddamn prison system that is exacerbated by the guards, that is exacerbated by the leadership. I mean, I'm talking about the leadership. I'm talking about the administration in the prison system from coast to coast. The gangs grew. They grew. And then when some of these men were finally kicked out of the system and were deported back to Nicaragua, back to Costa Rica, back to El Salvador, now you got a massive goddamn gang problem that where they were copying the L.A. gang system with the tattoos, the gang signs, just like I'm talking about in Cambodia and in New Zealand. Nobody saw that coming. And hip-hop as a music form had a lot to do with it expanding. But nobody saw that coming. And does anybody take responsibility for that? No. The war on drugs created that. And the pushing by the music industry of what they call gangster rap. I mean, it all started with gangsters to begin with, and I'm not going to get into that discussion. But the point is, you know, Death Row and, you know, whatever the fuck these album or these music production firms were doing, they pushed that meme of the violence, of the street violence, that gang life is everything. Gangster life. So you got people being raised by people like this who don't think that there's anything else to life except dying young. Except having a lot of kids and having been shot and showing off your wounds, your stab wounds, your shot, you know. This is the same thing that ISIS, that built up ISIS.
And a man shall bare his sleeve and say, these are the wounds I had with Harry on St. Crispin's Day. Oh, God.
It's the same thing that fuels Hamas and ISIS. You know, it starts to develop its own culture, its own meme. It's not just a matter of dehumanizing the Israeli. It's a matter of looking at the Israeli because I was raised into this. My father was a warrior for Hamas. I will be a warrior for Hamas. You know, what happened with the Taliban? Same guy.
You know, that almost sounds like something we hear around here. My granddaddy was a coal miner. My daddy was a coal miner. I'm going to be a coal miner, and I got a right to be a coal miner. No, it's not the same thing as being in Hamas, but...
Well, hey, I had a guy tell me one time when I was in my 30s, that he beat his wife. He was proud of it. And I told him he was a fucking punk. And he said, hey, man, my father beat his wife. I got a right to beat mine. I said, you are okay with your father beating your mother? He said, hey, man, he's a man. A man has a right to do that. And you and I both know that there are men walking around in 2015 that still think like that.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Angry, we got to get out of here, brother.
All right, my
what
man.
A conversation this has been. And a lot of folks have sent emails noting the same, and I'm glad y'all enjoyed it. I did too. And Angry,
well, you
man, you always bring a banquet to the table. You do.
Well, I'm not trying to be special, but you know, it's just these are things that we discuss and we know that goes on in our heads, and we need to talk about it because people think they're alone out there. And I always say, hey, if you can support this conversation, if you can make it, you know, help it go through 2016, please support the Bob Kincaid Show. Peace.
Thanks, Angry. The one and only, the Angry Indian. It is time to get out of here. Thank you very kindly, one and all. We will get back after it for Prayer Meeting Wednesday tomorrow. And you be here. I'll be here. And I've got some good stuff set by. Thanks to all of you who keep all of this going. Thank you for your participation, your calls, your emails, your tweets, your Facebook postings. Thank you to those of you who just go about the business of maybe making dinner while this is all taking place. It just tickles me to no end to know that you're there. I get emails, and I really, really appreciate them. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.